gentlemen, brace yourselves. This is it. 3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Good morning.
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you, Steve-O.
And also with you.
And to the Jeter boys.
Woo!
All hail the conquering heroes.
Yeah. All hail broke loose yesterday, huh?
Uh-huh.
See what I did there?
Yesterday, the boys played their first playoff game, and they won.
Yeah, they did.
Not only did they win, they stomped the other team.
So bad, man.
Which was sad, because our buddy Jeb, his son, plays on that team.
Aiden's on that team.
Yeah.
They're good kids. A lot of 8-year-olds on that team.
They're all friends, though. Something happened in the middle of the game. A kid named Xavier, I think, hit a home run.
Yeah.
And then Jack Jeter gets up there and hits a triple.
Hits a triple!
And it was like, for
couple
a
RBIs.
While,
and,
like every kid was just nailing the ball.
Went through the lineup not once, but almost all the way through twice.
Doug came to the game.
That's what it was. So, Doug, you're the lucky charm. You have to be there 8 a.m. on Saturday, round
Yay,
2.
Yay, okay. Doug!
Round 2. Taking on the winner of the White Sox and the Yankees. So
the White Sox is your favorite team.
White Sox, that's kind of like a, man.
They're your favorite
minor
team.
Minor rivalry going on.
Well, I beat the drum.
Baseball, people. The sun came baseball. We're born again. Yeah, dude. Good day. It is a good day. It is Thursday. Theology Thursday. It's happening.
Man.
Pastors Jarrett Petro and Brian Nixon will be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour for some shenanigans.
Shenans.
The restaurant.
They used to work at a restaurant called Shenanigans, and they told us some stories about waiting. Man.
I think they made a movie about their life. It was like a documentary on B-Nix.
Ryan Reynolds played Jarrett Petro.
Yeah. Justin Long was Brian Nixon.
Yes, absolutely.
Or
was B-Nix the cook? The wise cook.
You know what? Could be. Could be the wise cook.
That could have been Nance.
Yeah,
Nance
there you
is
go.
She's my sage wisdom.
Oh, man. Yep.
Or is it Kareen?
Gosh.
I went to see Kareen yesterday
because
I was
you?
Looking for Jarrett Petro. And she said hello.
Hello.
She almost called us yesterday.
Oh, almost.
And I said, Kareen, you need to call us.
Seems like a lot of people have been almost
they
calling
almost
us lately.
Call us. I think they're scared to get put on the spot if they call
yeah,
in.
Yeah, it's okay. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. It is Thursday. We got a lot of great stuff today. The Schroffs will be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour.
Coach!
Of course, as I mentioned, Theology Thursday. That's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour.
Hurry up.
Yeah. Dude. Good times.
Yes, we'll be discussing many things.
Yeah.
Yes. Ninthly.
Coming up, of course, 6:45, we do something called birthdays with producer Doug. And you can get a birthday shout-out in if you'd like. studio@mystaticradio.com. That is our email address. If you'd like to get that in there. Do so.
Do it. It's summertime, so give us a call and talk to us.
Yes, you can do so.
You got no reason not to.
Good stuff. On the way, we also have some Paramore. We got a Culture Shock from Coldplay. If you want to suggest a Culture Shock, hit us up, studio@mystaticradio.com.
Mm.
We'd love to hear from you.
Do it.
Right now, song's called On Your Way. It's Paper Lights on Team Awesome Morning Party.
No.
Static.
Did you come to find me? Did you wait to see that I was gone? Did you even notice that I was missing?
That show is the broadcast equivalent of being punched in the face.
Team Awesome Morning Party. On Static Radio.
Turn on the news.
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
Hello.
Hello.
It's time for breaking news. And I'm ready. Are you ready?
I am absolutely ready.
Doug, are you prepared? He is mentally and emotionally prepared. Is he physically prepared?
The gauntlet.
That would require pants, Doug. You gotta wear pants to work. Number one, the number of the day is 13.
Ooh.
Now, we have a couple of albums to give away.
Okay.
We've got Cardboard Kids full record.
Yep.
And we have Golden Youth. A very limited. They printed 200 of this EP. It's an EP of their new record, The Cabin.
Yep.
Which will be released later as a full length. But this is an EP signed by the band. We have number 99 and number 100 of 200. They printed them.
Pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Special thanks to those people. Those fine gentlemen and gentlelady. Commercial airline pilot was arrested for smuggling drugs. Why you gotta smuggle drugs on the airplane? You're already high. Why do you need to get higher?
That's good.
Thanks. A man who happens to be named Justin Bieber was arrested in Nashville for public intoxication. Is it the same Bieber? Is this... Are they trying to be ironic or something? Or are they trying to be funny? I don't know. We'll find out later. When a drunken man at a rodeo in Georgia began firing shots, one of the cowboys lassoed him.
Oh, sweet.
A guy who got drunk pulled out his gun and started shooting into a crowd picked exactly the wrong place to do it. Now, Celestino Moraes is in jail, charged with aggravated assault and nursing a black eye and some other injuries from what happened to him as soon as he ran out of bullets. The situation took place on Sunday in Cassville, Georgia. That's where an annual holiday church picnic and rodeo, because wow, that's what you do at church in Georgia, was taking place for about 300 invited guests. The key word there is rodeo.
Mm-hmm. Rodeo.
That... Rodeo, oh, it's a bunch of blood, it's dust and mud, it's roaring sun to crap, bing, pow! So many rodeo songs, country music. When there's a rodeo, there are cowboys. And cowboys don't like getting shot at.
No, they do not.
Celestino Moraes was not among the invited rodeo attendees and was asked to leave. He didn't take kindly to that and pulled out a handgun and began firing wildly into the crowd. Three people were shot, but their wounds were minor, and they were treated and released at a hospital the same day. As soon as Moraes ran out of bullets, one of the rodeo cowboys twirled his lasso and wrangled the gunman, bringing Moraes to the ground. At that point, a group of guests descended on the inebriated shooter and dealt him a severe beating.
Yeah.
Church in Georgia.
Yep.
That's how it goes, man.
You don't mess with God's people in God's country, and that's Georgia.
During a rodeo.
You don't, and we're doing God's work right now. That cowboy out there lassoing that, whatever that is.
Mm-mm.
You don't come at me with your little handgun, you old drunk man. Lord said no, and so do I. Lasso.
That's crazy.
That really happened. That is a real life situation. Another real life situation, a woman has set a new steakhouse record in Texas, your home state, by eating a huge 72-ounce steak plus baked potato, shrimp cocktail, bread, and salad in less than 5 minutes.
Oh my gosh!
That's right. 72-ounce steak plus baked potato, shrimp cocktail, bread, and salad.
Did she get her meal for free?
Less than 5 minutes. She had to have gotten her meal for free. I mean, that's crazy. I bet it was at that one restaurant.
In like 40. Amarillo?
Yeah, in Amarillo.
Oh, yeah, man.
Ugh. Teddy from California.
Yeah.
Hollywood. Anytime we would go, because there's a town out there called Amarillo and Camarillo. So anytime we were going to Amarillo, Texas, he would call it Amarillo, Texas. And we would
go, no.
No,
but you're right, but you're wrong.
You're right and wrong. New York Mayor de Blasio has earmarked over $600,000 in the new city budget to exterminate New York City rats. Watch out, turtles.
Yeah, man, because you don't talk about the mafia.
Rats.
Right.
The aminals.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah.
Because when I think New York City, I think about drugs. I don't know what we're doing.
Why do you think about drugs?
I don't know.
You got drugs on the brain? Is this your brain on drugs?
I was trying to think of, like, movies. Gangs of New York, first thing I thought of.
Do you remember that commercial?
Yeah.
This is your brain.
Johnny Depp.
This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
No, Johnny Depp, I love you. I can't wait for your career to come back. Brooklyn Bridge authorities are trying to get thousands of couples to stop putting padlocks on the historic structure as a symbol of their undying love. There's a bridge in Paris that crosses that river. I can't remember which river it is right now, but there I have a picture of it in my phone. Padlocks and people's initials carved into them. So I wonder if that's what they're trying to do with the Brooklyn Bridge.
Huh.
Don't do it at the George Washington Bridge, because that's where the Green Goblin knocked Gwen Stacy off.
Yep.
And Spider-Man tried to save her, and the result is go see Spider-Man 2. A new study concludes that diet soda is better than water to help you lose weight. However, the study was funded by the beverage industry, also known as liars.
Yeah.
Any group of liars can fund a study, and they can say whatever they want to say.
Yeah.
I do it all the time.
We funded a study that said you would be healthier if you gave us all your money.
Yes. It's been scientifically proven by Doug, Celeste, and Mitch.
Yeah.
That if you give us your money, you will be healthier.
Yep.
You will receive...
happier.
You will receive gold bullion in the mail from aliens that live beneath the Sandia Mountains in a bunker that was prepared by the ancient mutant Apocalypse.
Which is not on us, because they're the ones that have to send the gold bullion. So if you do not receive it in a timely manner, it's because Earth years are like milliseconds to
them. Yeah, it's kind of like a rubber band. Beanix will explain it later. But anyway, guys, it's not our fault. We'll get you. You give us the money, and we'll get you in touch with the aliens.
Yes,
we've
somehow
got a hotline.
Somehow. We've did a study. It works.
It's a 1-900 number, though, so you're going to get charged.
A lot.
A lot. But that's fine, because that money goes to us, too.
Dude, I got a text yesterday from my provider that I went over my minutes again.
How could you do that?
I don't know. I don't feel like I talk on the phone that much.
Dude, why do you talk on the phone so much?
I only have 450 minutes a month.
Maybe it's not you. Maybe
that's
it's
the
Jack.
That's the smallest one.
Maybe Brody's been making calls.
Maybe. Because
that dude can operate a phone now.
Yeah.
He can pick up Steve-O's phone and go to the Static Radio app.
Yeah.
Which is free.
Yesterday, during the Little League game, somebody kept, I'm not going to say who, Grandpa, kept going, "Listen to Daddy." And he would grab Chrissy's phone and direct his way to the Static app and turn on the app. But it was while people were batting. And I was like, "Chrissy, turn that off. People are batting.
Chrissy, punch that kid.
Punch it. Take that phone away from him.
Chrissy, punch that
baby." He'd be like, "All right. All right, Bobby, you got this. All right, kid, you're doing good. You're doing a good job. Chrissy, turn that phone." Sorry. Okay. All right, Bobby. You got this. Oh, and here comes the pitch. Ah! Turn that phone off!
Who's doing that?
Oh, it was obnoxious.
It was Brody the whole time.
You can't do that while they're batting. Do it while the other team's batting.
Yeah. Learn how to do it, Brody.
We don't have a Bobby on our team.
No. The Olympics have been having trouble finding cities interested in hosting the 2022 games.
Oh, why?
Only a few years away, man. We got to get on it.
2022?
They ought to do it in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah, because we could totally house the Olympics.
The Winter Games. Perfect.
Oh, it'd be terrible.
There's a hill. You could have the petroglyphs. Could be something.
Winter Olympics.
Oh, we could come up with a new game.
Ice blocking.
It could be try to activate the volcano.
Absolutely.
Activate the dormant volcano. Doug, would you be down for that?
Well,
Doug knows what I'm talking about.
We'll do another event at Pregnant Park where...
There's Pregnant Park?
Yeah, it's called Pregnant Park, which I thought it was because it was located near a high school. Turns out it's just because there's a giant bump and it looks like a pregnant lady lying down.
I hope it doesn't have a baby.
Yeah.
Because it'll be Godzilla. Or a Muto.
We could do... have you ever gone ice blocking?
No. What is that?
Okay.
What is it?
Okay, so we go to the store. We get... this is the episode of U-Rock we did a long time ago that Bryan Cranston saw and was like, "That was hilarious."
Okay.
That he ended up being on our show, and that was the episode you mentioned.
Okay.
You take, you know those blocks of ice, how you can buy them in like a block?
Mm-hmm.
You take one of those, you kind of strap a rope. Ropes are hard. You just kind of have to hold on, in my opinion.
Okay.
You can like jam stuff into the front to try and make little holder area for you.
Okay.
And you sit on the ice block and get on top of a giant hill, and then the ice, whoop!
That's fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
Is it cold on your bottom?
Of course it is.
I like calling it a bottom.
That's our new, that would be a Winter Olympic Games in Albuquerque.
Is it cold on your bottom?
We should come up with a bunch of Winter Olympic Games that would be like perfect for Albuquerque.
I told you one. Activate the dormant volcano.
I know, that's one.
First
we
person
have a
to do it.
Whole Olympics to
wins.
Plan now. Whole Olympics.
the whole Olympics. Remember that Kentucky religious snake handler who died from a rattlesnake bite a few months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now his son, who followed in his footsteps, has also been bitten. Cool, man. Legacy. Not the church. The snake
they're not
family.
Crazy.
Right. That we know of. We'll ask Kevin Banks about it.
Yeah, he'll be here tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Mm.
Love that dude. Yeah. Apple has confirmed that it will purchase quote unquote high-end headphone maker Beats Electronics for $3 billion. And founders Jimmy Iovine, and Dr. Dre will join the company. This is why Dr. Dre tweeted a few weeks ago he's the first rapper billionaire or something.
Yeah.
Apple is hoping to cash in on the Beats subscription-based music service. Also, now iTunes owns Beats. So, there you go.
That just took away my illustration on Sunday.
I'm sorry.
That sucks.
What do you mean?
Well, because I'm teaching on James chapter 3, and I was going to talk about the power of the tongue, because Dr. Dre got drunk and was like, yeah, sup, I'm Dr. Dre, I'm going to be the first black billionaire, yo, that was a rapper and stuff and whatnot, because they're going to buy my company, and I'm going to be so much richer, I got that money, man, check me out on the YouTubes,
right.
what, and then Apple's like, hey,
sir, stop bragging, please.
It hasn't happened. And it's not going to happen now. And I was like, dude, power of the tongue, $3 billion, gone.
No, it's back.
Dang it. Stupid Apple, you ruined my illustration for my message on Sunday.
I think.
Jerks.
I like to imagine Apple approaching Dr. Dre, knocking on the door and him answering and be like, what's up? And then they're like, excuse me, sir.
Mr. Dre.
Sir?
It's Dr. Dre. I went to school so that I could be called a doctor.
Oh, Mr. Doctor, sir?
Yeah.
Stop bragging in public, or we'll cancel this deal.
Yo.
And you'll just be a regular old millionaire.
Mmm.
So, we gotta go. We gotta go.
Such a hard life.
We've got to go repair satellites.
Thug life.
That are invisible.
1999. Oh. It's 2014.
That's right.
My bad.
Cool.
I just get caught up in the moment.
I understand. Aldermen in Chicago are calling for the city to raise its minimum wage to $15 an hour in response to Mayor Rahm Emanuel's 45-day ultimatum for area leaders to draft wage reform to address the city's growing inequality problem.
Boom, boom.
Chicago's current minimum wage is $8.25 an hour. They want to bump that thing up to $15 an hour.
That's
guys, when you raise minimum wage, everything seems like it's going to be easier. And then you realize that the standard of living goes up. Your Cokes in Chicago will cost $3 if you do this.
I know, right?
Not kidding.
I know.
That's what's going to happen. When you go to the Coke machine, when you go to the movies and you literally drop a Benjamin on a date night in
something's
Chicago.
Wrong.
For real, let's think about this.
Yeah.
If minimum wage is $15, right now it's at $8, and most tickets, say you want to go see an IMAX, say you want to go see a 3D movie, you're going to pay between $15 and $20 for your ticket.
Right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
So, and minimum wage is $8.25.
Yeah.
Here in Albuquerque.
So let's say it gets doubled.
Let's double that, essentially, to $15.
Yeah.
Are almost double.
Right.
So
then they're going to double their ticket price.
Guys, that's $40. Think about that. If of course it wouldn't be exactly that, but
what if it was? Imagine paying $30-$35 for a movie ticket, which is what you'd be.
Good luck with that. Standard of living, jerks.
Yeah, but I'll be making $15 an hour in the job I don't have because everybody goes under.
Right. Exactly. Come on, people.
We're trying to help you.
We're trying to help y'all. The trick
economics
would be not to raise minimum wage. The trick would be to lower prices on everything.
Mm.
But I understand where the government's like, no, man, we're making too much money. Actually, they're not making money. It's the Illuminati that's making money. For more information on that, call your local psychopath.
Mm-hmm.
Google's been tinkering with self-driving cars for some time, retrofitting its technology into existing vehicles. Now the company has leaked info on a prototype car that literally has no steering wheel. The cars are tiny two-passenger city cars with a top speed of 25 miles per hour.
Ugh.
Cars are designed to help pick up and transport people who can't drive themselves, offering to extend mobility for older or disabled passengers. Google has said it hopes to have the technology on the road by 2017, at least in some places. At this point, Google's cars are pure prototypes, small battery packs, plastic bodies, and a basic tubular roll cage. They also have backup steering and braking systems, so they don't need a driver to assist. Google is also now testing pedestrian safety systems, including a foam front end and a flexible windshield. Guys, we're in the future.
Yeah, they say they're prototypes. I'm pretty sure I've seen those on the road regularly.
Those little smart cars?
Yeah, really old people driving them going 25 miles an hour.
Boom!
Top speed.
Yeah. Top speed.
Happens regularly.
This thing gets 25 miles an hour to the gallon.
It's amazing. It's pretty
fantastic.
It's incredible.
And for our last little bit of breaking news before we do some traffic. For her wake in Puerto Rico, the body of an 80-year-old woman was positioned in her favorite rocking chair wearing her wedding dress. The woman was put on display in her red cushioned rocker. Her daughter said her mother specified that this was how she imagined her wake. Little kids specified that that was their worst nightmare. And by little kids, I mean me and most people, no matter how old they are.
Heck no, dude. We've got to talk about this.
That is terrifying.
At my wake, I want to be like standing up like a rock pose.
All right, Weekend at Bernie's. Let's do a little traffic and then we'll hit up Doug.
Traffic.
You remember Weekend at Bernie's?
Of course I do.
You remember Weekend at Bernie's too?
Heck yeah.
Just making sure. Guys, there's an interesting thing developing down I-25 south at Rio Bravo Boulevard where there's road construction. Mm-hmm. Rio Bravo and Highway 47. There's been an accident and the right lane is blocked. That's exit 200. Be careful. Also, the off-ramp at I-25 in Paseo is closed due to road construction. And that includes I-25 north at San Antonio Drive, which is the way I take to get the mail. Luckily, I'm not getting the mail today, so that doesn't matter.
That's good.
But anyway, watch out for I-25 in Paseo. Also, that accident again, I-25 and Rio Bravo, exit 200. There is an accident, and the right lane is blocked. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, the coffee shop here on the Calvary Albuquerque campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. 505-338-3669. It is warm!
Warm!
I'm ready for that iced Americano. I'm also ready for Doug and Birthday!
Doug and Birthday, Doug.
Hey!
Doug, I missed the
bonk yesterday on Birthday.
Tomorrow.
You're
tomorrow.
Our lucky charm, Doug.
You gotta be there Saturday.
All Little League games for the rest of their lives.
Okay,
don't disappoint my kids.
I'll be there.
Okay.
I will be there.
8 a.m. 8 a.m.
I will be there. Today is May 29th, 2014, day 149. There are 216 days remaining in the year. First up this morning, he is a comedian, television host, actor, voice actor, writer, and executive producer. He hosts his own show on the Comedy Central. The show is entitled Tosh.0.
Stephen Tosh.
Stephen? Michael Tosh.
John.
Keep going.
John Tosh.
Starts with a D.
David Tosh.
David. Daniel Tosh.
Daniel Tosh.
Daniel Tosh.
Daniel.
Nailed it. Totally know who that guy is.
Daniel works here. So that's how I knew.
He's 43.
Tosh is 40.
He is 39.
That's
close. That's good.
Next up.
Never seen it.
Going to the Association. An American professional basketball player.
Oh, that's cool.
Who plays for the New York Knickerbockers.
Currently?
Currently.
Mello.
Yes. Carmelo Anthony celebrating a birthday this morning.
Miss you in Denver, Mello.
They call him Mello Yellow, for short.
No, nobody calls
Does
him.
Does anybody call him that?
Nope.
They should. They should.
Oh, man.
He was drafted in the 2003 NBA draft.
Yeah.
Okay.
How old is Syracuse?
What do you think?
I
say 32.
Let's see. Say he was 23 when he was drafted, maybe. 22. Now I'm going to go lower. 22 when he was drafted.
He played his freshman year for Syracuse, won the national championship.
Yep. Oh, that was his freshman year?
Yeah.
Dang. When they won the national championship? So he was not.
Can I change mine to 30?
I'm going to say he's 34.
Today he is 30 years old.
Oh, man. I did it. Doug, I did it.
I'm proud of you.
I pooped myself. I don't know why.
2003, it's 2014. I'm an idiot.
No, you're not.
I added 14 years to 20.
You're not an idiot. I am.
It is Billy Corgan's birthday.
No.
It is Darcy's birthday.
An American actor.
Oh.
Oh.
He played Captain Stolmeyer in Monk. And he played Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs.
Is that a...
It puts the lotion on its skin!
Yes.
Weird.
Ted Levine.
No clue.
So that guy, wait, let's see. 57.
Ah, 54. He's 57 today.
No!
Look at Steve-O.
Time it up.
Next up, attempted assassin of Ronald Reagan.
Oh!
What's his face? You know him. Hinkley.
Why am I excited about this?
Steve-O loves assassins.
John Hinkley!
He loves assassins. Steve-O was in a play, or he was going to be in a play, a musical.
Stephen Sondheim.
And he didn't get to do it because the lady shut it down.
Yes.
The mean lady.
In high school, I was cast as John Hinckley. He tried to kill Ronald Reagan so that he'd gain national attention because he was in love with Jodie Foster. He watched Taxi Driver 16 times in a row.
And Steve-O had this crazy plan for Jennifer Love Hewitt to notice him.
Man,
he was going to kill the president. Which president? I'm not going to tell you. So he doesn't get arrested. But it rhymes with Bill Clinton.
Oh my gosh! You can't say that! There's no way!
That was obviously
he'd never
not
do
real.
That, everyone. Calm it's down. Calm real. Down. Doug
but
was
yeah,
do
I was
it.
Cast as John Hinckley. And we got all the way up there to, like, rehearsals and everything, and then it was like, maybe we shouldn't do this high school musical.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking...
We're in high school?
It's about assassins murdering people.
And this is nuts!
How is this a real musical, Stephen Sondheim? John Hinckley.
So,
okay, that was in...
So that dude's in prison for real.
Yeah, so, let's see, 30 years ago? 30? Okay. I'm going to say that dude's 60.
63.
He is 59 today.
Oh, dang it! You were right there, sir.
Yeah, some good math. I mean, I almost played him in
Tito!
A musical.
Next up, nope.
Jermaine.
The fifth child of the Jackson family.
Jefferson.
Nope.
Wilbur.
Singer, songwriter, musician, author, television personality, actress, businesswoman.
Oh, LaToya.
Yes.
LaToya Jackson.
Okay, LaToya. She's the fifth Jackson?
Yes.
Okay, so if MJ was 50 when he died. I'm going to say she is 53 years old. She's older than that, but oh well. Yeah, dude. Yep.
What'd you say?
I said 53, but I feel like that's way too young.
Um, 56.
Today she is 58.
Yep.
Dang, man.
Next up.
Sporty Spice.
Nope.
Posh.
Nope.
Ginger.
Nope.
Baby.
Nope.
Scary.
Spice. Melanie Brown.
Mel B. Oh my gosh, you know the words of this song.
Of course I know the words of this song.
My precious diamond.
Oh, there you go. Okay, Scary Spice, what do you think?
She's 45. You're throwing me off. 45.
She's 44.
She is 39.
Oh, crap. I thought they were older than us. I mean, that's still older than us.
Friendship never ends.
Melissa Etheridge.
Yes, Melissa Etheridge.
What are you doing? What? I watched MTV when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. That's how I know this. What? Why are you looking
at me? Keep going, man. Keep on going.
I like Long Watch on the Beach, watching Ellen. Lilith Fair was my favorite.
Why is your voice so
Summer
deep right
jam.
Now?
And I play it for the WNBA.
I love impressions of Janet Reno.
Melissa Etheridge is my favorite artist of all time.
Terrible. I think Melissa Etheridge is... Oh, man, I don't know. What do you think?
She is.
What do you think, fan?
I believe,
Do you remember lounging in the grassy knoll at Lilith Fair, Steve-O? Was
magical.
It fun?
Sarah McLachlan played the sweet sounds of summertime jams.
Birkenstock.
I hope you get punched by a girl.
She's 55. I think she's 53.
She is 53 years old.
Yeah! You take the punch and I'll take the win.
Good job, buddy.
Thanks, man.
And now the last birthday
this
morning.
Fan. Liam.
Noah.
Nope.
Noah?
No, no Gallagher's?
Noel.
Noel.
Noel. Let's both sing it.
Oh. This is the jam, dude. We were just talking about the 20th anniversary of Definitely Maybe. Oh, my gosh. It's the 20th anniversary of all great records right now.
Today is going to be the day that they're going to come back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you're going to do.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Anybody.
You know who loves this band?
I hate you, Liam.
You'll never get... Okay, lead singer of a rock band... Favorite band.
Dave Myers.
Nope.
Steven from Everlane.
Nope. No, come on. He's like Morrissey and all like
this. Kind of, though, this is like the later version of Morrissey.
But it doesn't make sense to me. Like, favorite band.
Really?
One of them. This is like he talks about
Gambino.
Nope. Schwabi.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
When we started talking Oasis and he said that, I was like, shut up. Are you serious?
I don't
now?
Like how this band felt like they were better than the Beatles.
I do because I think they're better than the Beatles.
Hey.
What?
You have committed a sin. A musical
what
sin.
What you gonna do now, huh?
I'm gonna send Melissa Etheridge to your window.
Oh, don't do that.
You're gonna be the one that saves me.
Yeah, I said it.
I wish you would have played,
I like Oasis way more than I like the Beatles.
Champagne Supernova.
That's my favorite Champagne Oasis Supernova song. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. Okay. All right. Oasis. Noel Gallagher. What do you think?
Gosh. 46.
Mm. 49.
He is 47 today.
Ah!
Maybe one day he and his brother will stop fighting and
get
back together.
No, guys, they'll get back together for three shows and then punch each other and it'll be over.
All right, on to dates. On this day in what year, Wisconsin was admitted as the 30th state?
Oh, yeah. Wisconsin is my favorite state. I love cheese. 30th state.
1845. 1848.
Ah!
Mississippi was 20-something, and it was 1817.
Man.
Booyah.
This next song has absolutely nothing to do with the date, but Mateo brought it up earlier, so now I'm going to play it.
Yeah, baby! I woke up with this in my head. I did, and I told Doug.
Beautiful.
On this day, what year, during a speech in Bloomington, Illinois, Abraham Lincoln said, "You can fool some of the people all the time, all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time."
That sounds like a George Bush quote.
Sounds like a Yogi Berra quote.
Did you say Abraham Lincoln said that?
Yeah.
What happens when you're president?
1800s.
Considering 18...
There's a restaurant down the street.
1861.
We're hungry people. 1859.
1856.
Dang it!
I wish you would have kept that song playing, Doug.
Yeah.
Well, it's time to move on to the next date. On this day in what year, the Ladies Home Journal fired 15 women employees for doing the turkey trot during their lunch hour.
What?
Good. Okay, well...
Gotta keep those women in line.
A, they had jobs, so that means something.
Okay, yeah, so at least the 70s.
B, they got fired during their lunch break, so there was no union to stop that
there was
from
a
happening.
Lunch break, so this was the early 70s. I'm sorry. All you ladies out there.
Now you're getting punched in the face.
I give you permission to punch me.
Our bosses are Maria and Joan.
Those are girls? Crap! What kind of world is this? 1953.
It ain't biblical, I'll tell you that much.
Oh my God.
I apologize. Okay, what'd you say? 53?
1953. You need to stop talking about women like that. We have rights, all right?
Are you a woman? What? What?
19...
Get out of here!
1928.
This happened in 1912.
Okay, yeah.
On this day in what year, the 35th U.S. President John F. Kennedy was born in Brookline, Massachusetts.
All right. 1931. 34.
1917.
Oh, wow. He was older than I thought.
Well, dang, dude.
And the last one this morning, understand what year, Sir Edmund Hillary and Sherpa Tenzing Norgay became the first people to reach the summit of Mount Everest.
Oh, man. I used to know this.
Okay.
I just want to listen to this.
The summit. The summit of Everest.
We're going to reach the summit.
1969.
1953. Mattel with the
walk-off. Yeah! Boom! Proud of you, buddy.
The music empowered
today
me.
Today was your day.
Today is Learn About Composting Day. It's Put a Pillow on Your Fridge Day. Doing so brings good luck.
I thought it was going to be Put a Pillow on Your Friend's Face Day and Murder Them Day. I really thought that's what you were going to say.
Terrible.
It's National Biscuit Day.
Biscuit, huh?
Yep.
Yeah! National Biscuit Day. You couldn't play any Limp Bizkit on National Biscuit Day? There's probably not a single song
you
could play.
Probably not. I don't think so.
Roll it, roll it, roll it, roll it. It's just one of those days.
When you want to wake up.
Yeah, okay.
See? You get three words in, you're
never mind. National Biscuit Day. Bizkit.
Of course, nobody's listening right now, so I guess we could really do whatever we want.
It's not B-I-Z-K-I-T Day.
Okay. It's an actual biscuit. All right. We got a great show for you today. I'm excited. Sad news. Camera phones are ruining your brain.
Good.
Yeah, we'll talk about that coming up around the corner.
We've also got a story we might need to save for Sam Swan, but the longest running streak in history.
Gosh. We got that. We got the Shroffs. We got Theology Thursday. And it's a great day. It's National Biscuit Day.
This sounds like Futures.
Go get a biscuit.
Go get a biscuit.
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Let the broadcasting of the disturbed continue.
Time for more from Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Enjoy the show.
Now, at first glance, it looks like there's nothing really to report, but we just got a call from our boy Clay Schroff, who's on the way here.
Yeah, headed eastbound on Paseo.
Probably close to,
let's say, before Coors.
Is it Rainbow, maybe? Or something? No, not Rainbow.
Like golf course?
Yes, golf course.
Know.
That's it.
Yeah, probably around that area.
Around there, around Paseo and golf course or Eagle Ranch or something, there's been a
four-car
accident. That's not on our traffic map, but thanks to Clay, we know about it because he called in.
Yep.
Also, construction at I-25 in Paseo is rocking right now, and traffic is getting backed up around there. We have a road closed due to construction at I-25 North and San Antonio Drive, exit 231. Also, at I-25 South in Rio Bravo, there it is. The accident, the right lane is blocked because of this accident, and there is also construction at Highway 47 and Broadway Boulevard Southeast South at Rio Bravo. So be careful out there, guys. Again, a four-car accident.
Eastbound Paseo,
somewhere around golf course and Eagle Ranch and that area.
Yeah.
We're not sure.
That's your look at traffic, which is brought to you by Solomon's Porch, who has kindly rocked our world with coffee this morning.
Thank you, man.
You would like your world rocked with coffee. 505-338-3669 or head on down 4001 Osuna Road, northeast on the Calvert campus.
Mm-hmm.
Now. Got a story. We mentioned this earlier, How old was she? This lady
she was old.
She was old.
She was old, y'all. She was 80 years old.
80 years old. This grandmother passed away and had some interesting demands for her wake, her funeral, or whatever. They put her in her favorite rocking chair. She wore a dress, her wedding dress.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We're listening to Ray Stevens in the background.
Yeah.
It's the old song called Sitting Up with the Dead.
Yeah.
Because apparently the wake thing was big in America, too, and it's kind of passed.
Well, apparently not for this lady, who wanted to be sitting in a rocking chair wearing her wedding dress, and people just kind of hung out with her.
Yep.
While she sat there in a rocking chair.
She specified she wanted to be in her rocking chair with the red cushion in her wedding dress. 80 years old, dead, sitting up in a chair.
So the obvious question of the day is...
obvious.
How do you want to be displayed at your wake? I've got a really good idea. Let's say, you know, God forbid, we go at the same time. I'm thinking lightsabers, we're standing up, right?
Yeah.
I'll even take the red one. I'll be the Dark Lord of the Sith.
Okay.
Right?
Do you get a double one?
No, I just want the regular one. And then you will have the blue one.
Nice.
And we'll be like crossing the...
Wait, are we both going to be dead?
Yeah, if we die like at the same time somehow.
No, I'm not going to...
I'm not
going to
poison us.
I'm going to live.
You know. But that would be the coolest. Hey, die with me, buddy.
No!
That'd be the coolest way
I've already promised people I'm not going to die. I got to keep my first promise. I'm sorry, guys. My
friend
is stupid.
Then I'm going to be in the Han Solo pose.
Okay.
Right? With the blaster pistol. And I'll have the my nice little vest on.
No!
Come on.
No!
People can take pictures with me. Selfies. Selfies with the dead.
An 80-year-old woman in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Positioned in her favorite rocking chair, wearing her wedding dress at her wake.
With her favorite red cushion.
Yes.
Hanging out.
The question of the day is...
how do you want to be posed at your wake?
/ funeral.
/ display.
Do you want a theme?
You want to be in a display case? I don't want to be like this. Like, trying to pound on the glass, behind the glass, like he's not dead!
You could rig it to where your arm was going...
(laughs) 505-338-3700 or of course facebook.com/mystaticradio. What if I got another one. Okay. So I could have one of my kids on my shoulders trying to get at the ring, and I'll be wearing my wedding ring, like trying to keep it on.
Yeah.
It'll be like, you know, like the Hobbit, like the end, like the scene with Frodo and Gollum. So and my kids can take turns like portraying Gollum trying to get the ring off of me.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one too. That one's pretty good.
I can't believe that this was what she wanted. Because
sitting
it's
in a rocking
so
chair,
creepy.
It's really creepy. You're sitting next to grandma and she's just like, I love rocking out.
That's my rock and roll right there.
Right there.
I'm gonna rock right there and I'm gonna roll right into heaven when I die.
What would be even better is if somebody set up a little motor in the rocking chair so that it rocked.
You know what we need to do? We need to call Grandpa Friend.
Oh, man.
We need to call Grandpa Friend.
He's close to death.
And see what his thing would be.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
We might try that.
Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. Or, of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. An 80-year-old woman specified she wanted to be in her favorite rocket chair with her favorite red cushion in her wedding dress when she died. Just kicking it among all the wake-goers.
Mm-hmm.
Weekend at Bernie style. I feel like that would smell.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, okay, so the thing is, from what I can tell, and I could be wrong, so if you're a scientist, call in. Part of the reason that this used to be a tradition in America is because of kind of like fears that the dead person wouldn't be dead.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, not always, like sometimes people would... we don't have the medical technology.
Right.
Or we didn't have it that we do now.
Yeah.
And so sometimes they would think people were dead, and they were not dead, and they would get buried alive.
Oh,
and then they would die.
Gosh.
So the people would sit up. Your relative would die, and all the people from church, and they would sit up with you for like a night or two.
To make sure you
were dead. To make sure you were truly
dead. Not just mostly dead.
Right.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And you would have the coffin like there in the living room.
Gosh,
displayed.
I couldn't. Nope. Nope. Static.
Hey.
So,
so I want to die with a fishing pole on my hand, propped up against a tree.
There you
preferably
go.
Preferably with a fish on mine.
So that's how you'd want to be displayed, or that's how you want to die?
Well, that's the way I want to be dead. Find me displayed that way.
There you go. All right. I like that. Maybe some gummy worms for all your patrons who come through. Like, you know, you could, like, have gummy worms.
Yeah, the maggots could be bait for all those spectators.
Boom. Exactly. There you go. Entertainment for everyone. I love it. Thanks for the call, man.
Thanks, dude.
All right. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Static!
Hi, guys. It's Tamara.
Hey!
Hi. I don't know. That's, like, that old lady thing, that's kind of creepy, but I don't even think I would, like, want to be displayed at all.
No?
No, because, like, you're going to look really bad. I mean, you're just... Like, no. I don't know. That's just weird.
Because you're dead?
You're dead. There's that whole dead thing.
There's a whole part about being dead.
Yeah, but you know when you die, like, they make you up really nice.
That's true.
Some people, that's the best they've ever looked.
That's very true.
Yeah,
because
you get, like, a makeup artist.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
True.
I've hired Doug to do my makeup when I die.
Yeah.
It's going to look great.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go.
Hey, guys, my birthday's tomorrow.
Oh, snap! Birthday tomorrow. Are you going to call in during birthdays?
Birthday.
I don't know. You guys should call me.
Oh, yeah. No.
Okay, because we totally have your phone number.
We're not calling you.
No.
You got to call us for birthdays.
Call us for birthdays.
Yeah, Mateo has my phone number.
There you go. Oh, this is Tamara.
This is Tamara.
Okay, I just got
this
it.
This girl wants to be the intern at
this
the
is
station.
This is, okay. Well, maybe we will call you. We'll see how you handle birthdays.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you tomorrow then.
Bye bye.
There you go. All right. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. An 80-year-old woman wanted to be displayed in her favorite rocking chair wearing her wedding dress.
I don't really know how to phrase this question. Like, what?
How do you want to be displayed at your wake?
But we don't do wakes.
Who cares? I'm doing one now. Now that I know that I can be displayed.
Now that I know I can be on display.
So here's the thing, because she's right. Sometimes, you know, your bot, like, if depending upon how you die, you know, maybe, you know, that's not the bestest of things.
Right.
So you hire like a makeup artist. You do, like, a scene from, like, Thriller or something.
Oh, my gosh, you totally could. Like, you could be, like, an action figure packet.
I'm just saying.
Okay, maybe we will die together.
Really good ideas.
Maybe we will.
Okay.
We could do Spider-Man Green Goblin. And you'll look dead.
Right.
So you could already look like the Green Goblin.
I would probably look like the best Green Goblin, because so far the Green Goblin has kind of looked stupid.
Oh.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, you could wear a Power Ranger helmet.
I could either be Power Ranger Green Goblin, or this last one who just looked sickly and golem-like. So, I don't know. I don't know. I still don't know how I feel about that
guy.
I don't know. Anyways, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or 505-338-3700. Perfectly in line with what we're talking about. Song's called Cold Condition, which is what you would be at your wake. So tell us how you'd want to be displayed. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
We all need change. We wrap ourselves in blankets to stay.
3, 2, 1. Welcome back.
Now back to Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning, summertime friends.
7:39 Mountain Time. Welcome to Team Awesome Morning Party.
Hello.
Steve-O Mateo with ya.
Steve-O and I saw a video of Mr. Steve Perry.
Yes, we
formerly
did.
Of Journey singing with the Eels. We can't post it because the first song they sing has a lot of language in it.
Yeah, it's an Eels song
it's
that
an
he covered.
Eels song. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Then the band plays Open Arms and he sings to it and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's inspiring to hear Steve Perry sing a Journey song.
Rumor has it he's been working with the dudes in AWOL Nation.
Ah! Which
can
is
imagine
cool.
If he... Yeah. So random, though. The Eels
I know. AWOL Nation.
Did you read the story about how they got to be friends?
No.
I read that. It's weird.
Really?
Yeah. Just because Steve Perry was a big fan of the Eels, and he kept trying to, like, he would come to the shows and kept trying to meet the band, but the singer had never liked Journey. So the singer would always kind of dodge it, but then eventually he's finally like, okay, let him come back. And then they are now close friends, and they've been close friends. Like, they play croquet together. They all hang out together, and then eventually Steve Perry would come to their rehearsals, and they would start playing Journey songs and try to get him to sing, and he never would. And then one time they were playing Lights, and he sang at a rehearsal. And then from then on, they were like, we got to get him to sing at a show. We got to get him to sing at a show. And they kept trying to do it, and he never would. But then one day he showed up with his own mic for a rehearsal. And that's when the singer said he knew. He was like, oh, he's going to sing.
Oh.
And so then last week, or whenever that was, this week, he sang with the Eels. And that was the first time he's like sang publicly.
Like 20-something years?
Yeah, I think he quit Journey in 91. And his last Steve Perry tour was in 97.
Oh, wow. It's almost 20 years.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That is, yeah. Steve Perry.
Great voice. But you can tell he's out of practice.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's bad. It's just he's singing differently.
Yeah, he is.
You know, maybe that's on purpose. Maybe he's just changing it up a little bit. It's gritty.
Yeah.
It sounds good.
Yeah, it does.
Ooh.
Man, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, our boy Clay Schroff from the Aspen Project will be joining us. So I'm excited about that. In the meantime, we're talking about this 80-year-old Puerto Rican woman who specified for her wake she wanted to be sitting in her favorite rocking chair, wearing her wedding dress.
I don't need your rocking chair.
With her favorite red pillow.
Pillow.
You gotta have comfort when you're dead.
I guess. The Egyptians buried their dead with all of their treasures.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of good it did them, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rocking with those treasures and Hades and the underworld. Yeah. Coming
Absolutely.
Back.
Absolutely. Probably not.
Apocalypse.
Question of the day. How do you want to be displayed at your wake?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the question of the day. It's summertime.
It's summertime.
What do you want from us?
Steven says, standing up, eyes open, hand out, so people can properly say goodbye. Oh, yeah. And a voice recording will say, thanks for coming. Have a great day. I think if you're going to do it, you need to go full creepy.
Go big or go
Where's
home.
Where's Creepy Caleb in this?
No
this,
kidding.
This guy, he would know what to do.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Or, of course, 505-338-3700. The phone lines are open. Talking about this wake, this funeral. I don't know, man. Like,
yeah?
As funny as it seems, imagine, okay, in real life, imagine this.
Right.
Your grandmother passes away. You know, this is somebody's grandmother.
Right. Family member.
Passes away, and you go to the wake, and she's just kicking it in her favorite rocking chair in her wedding dress, holding her favorite red pillow.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's odd, man.
Yeah, but I guess in other countries, this is how you do it.
This is how we do it.
This is how we do it.
Yeah, so this is like a normal thing.
I guess so. Static.
Yo, good morning, fellas.
What morning. Up?
Yeah, so you wanted creepy. I got something creepy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Being displayed after your dad is already creepy.
Right?
Yeah.
But do you remember Rabbit Feet?
Yes.
Only 10 of my best friends and family members would get a little memento.
Gosh.
Strange. You're a strange individual.
You're amazing, man. There you go.
That's
you
creepy.
I didn't put much thought into it.
All right, man. Amazing.
Hey, can I get a song request?
Yeah. Totally.
Let's go with Brian Switchfoot.
All right.
I
haven't heard that in a while. That's a good track.
Right on. Thank you, fellas.
All right, yeah. Man. There you go. You too.
Have a
Switchfoot. Dude, okay. I mean, my fingers have tattoos on them.
Yeah.
I could leave my fingers for my children because it has their name on them. Is that creepy?
Yeah.
Little dad finger.
I'm sure Jack
keychain?
Would love it. Oh, my dad left me his fingers. He died. And the skin just rots off. I just let it fall off where it will. No problem. One day it'll just be bones. And then everybody will think I'm in a biker gang.
The wonders of dying and leaving stuff to your family members. This has got to be the creepiest story I've heard in a long time. An 80-year-old woman displayed at her wake in her favorite rocking chair. Grandma just kicking it. She wanted to just be among the party.
Just be in the party, y'all.
Gosh, dude. I don't know if I could... I mean, you have to honor your family members' dying wishes.
Well, do you? They're not around to be mean about it. They're not exactly around to complain anymore.
Yeah, but if you write that stuff into, like, a legal binding will or something...
Well, there you go. That's
it's like, no, this is what I want!
This is what I want.
I want to be holding a lightsaber in a Jedi Sith costume! A Jedi Sith. And a Jedi robe!
A Jedi Sith. A Jedi Sith Vulcan.
Depending on how I die, if I lose appendages, I want Darth Vader to make it look like that he...
No! That he cut your arm off?
You know, sounds terrible. Talking about people dying. But thanks to the 80-year-old woman who wanted to be in her favorite rocket chair in her wedding dress, we can do stories like this.
Amen.
Would you attend? Would you attend a wake like that?
I would not.
You don't?
I just don't think I could. Unless it was somebody super close and I was in on the joke.
So I'm saying, say it's your grandmother. This is an 80-year-old woman. It's like, hey, family member. Grandma, hey, look. Matthew, Grandma wants to be in her favorite rocking chair in her wedding dress.
No!
And oh my God, there's pictures!
I just found the picture.
Ah!
Okay.
There's pictures!
Doug, don't look at the picture. Doug, I'm trying to save you.
It just got real world. I can't do it anymore. Can't talk about this anymore.
I'm going to post the picture.
No!
Yes, I am.
Oh, no!
I shall edit the post and post the picture.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio if you'd like to see this 80-year-old woman in her favorite rocking chair. Whoa, it just got real. It just got real.
Yeah.
Tell us what you think. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio We got to take a look at traffic. Oh. I know for one thing, there's a train wreck. Because that's what just happened to my brain with that photo.
Yeah, that photo.
Hey, man, that photo creepy, man. I tell y'all, I just go out on the car. I do what I can, man. I just come out there 100% every time. Do what I can. Look over, see my grandma in a rocket chair, and then I can't. I don't know how to function no more.
Yep.
Road construction roadway reduced to one lane, Highway 47, Broadway Boulevard, southeast south at Rio Bravo.
Yeah.
But the big news, this guy. And this could be what Clay was talking about, in which case it's a lot closer than we thought. Accident Paseo del Norte East at Jefferson Street Northeast. 718, this could be what he called us about. And traffic is very backed up. If it is the same accident Clay referred to, this is a four-car accident, so it's probably going to be a mess for a while, especially around all of that construction. Also, the road is closed due to road construction, I-25 North at San Antonio Drive, which is very close to the construction at I-25 and Paseo. So be careful out there. There is an accident at Jefferson and Paseo.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvert Campus. Phone numbers 505-338-3669.
Oh.
That's 505-338-3669. Coming up, some requested music from Switchfoot, some Angels and Airwaves. We also got our boy Clay Schroff.
Oh, yeah.
Right around the corner. But question of the day. It's posted. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. An 80-year-old Puerto Rican woman passed away, and in her final wishes, she wanted to be dressed in her wedding dress with her favorite red cushion. She wanted to be in her favorite rocking chair, and she's displayed for all of her friends to take photos with. Yes, we have those pictures. Dear Lord, help us. This is real life. God,
for those of you
please,
who...
Lord... touch people's brains.
For those of you who don't want to see the pictures, I've just posted the link.
There you go.
So
thank you.
So you still have an option of not being just
thoroughly creeped out by Grandma on the rocking chair. There you go. All right.
It's not the most settling
little,
thing.
No, no, totally not. All right. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Quick break. Right back with Clay Schraub. Stop showing me the photo!
We'll be right back.
Static.
Good morning.
Awesome Morning Party, making your morning a little more awesomer. Ist, a little more awesomest.
Welcome.
Tell them about it, Clay.
You know what? Get over in the left-hand lane, guys. Paseo del Norte is going to be backed up from about the railroad tracks back.
That's crazy, man. Yes. Traffic report coming 8:15. We do it at the 15 and 45.
15 and 45 every hour.
But our boy Clay Schroff from the Aspen Project joining us in studio. Welcome to the show!
Good morning!
We're happy to have you in studio, my friend.
You know, I dropped my kids off to go swimming at 7, so I've been sitting out here.
Ooh,
we're cutting some
seven.
Commercials. Yeah, swimming at 7. It's colder at 7, you know.
Yeah. I was on the swim team, I know. My mom said, you can't play real sports. Tennis and swim team, Fort Hills Country Club.
Wow.
Which is,
yeah. Were you fast?
Yeah, it was pretty fast.
Were you like a dolphin?
Here's what's funny about that to me, because she was protecting you.
Right.
But drowning is still one of like the top five ways that people die every year.
But according
year.
To Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's the most peaceful way to die.
That's
so,
true. He said you just kind of fall asleep.
You just kind of fall asleep.
But isn't that funny? Yeah. She was like, I don't want you to get hurt.
I want you to get
Go
hurt.
Go swimming.
Drowning. You can't swim well. Throw him in the pool.
Throw him in the pool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? We were talking about your break, and we were talking about all the really cool movies that are out and are coming from comics. And you notice there's this huge spike in heroes.
Yeah.
People that do what's right. And you know what? I was thinking about it. We were talking the other day, and we were listening to the news, which I tried to avoid.
Mm.
And there is so much darkness in this world that this world needs heroes.
It's almost like you need a news program that would take the news,
right,
and maybe put like a spin on it to where it was more enjoyable, but you were still getting what you needed to know.
Sounds like that.
You mean like
that program on television would be
static
huge.
Radio?
I don't know. Maybe.
Who knows? But you're right. There's a huge spike in heroes and the need for heroes. We've seen it. People grab onto that. I believe it's because God wrote that in our hearts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ecclesiastes says that he's written eternity in our hearts. I mean, we have this desire, we have this need, and we can all identify with that because we're all longing for that Savior. So, yeah, it's crazy. Captain America, you see Spider-Man, X-Men
Just released. Captain America would be a great foster dad.
Probably.
Because I would want to be adopted by Captain America.
Yeah. I would want to be,
He'd say, who's your dad? My dad's tougher than your dad. Do you know who my dad is?
Yeah.
My dad's Captain America.
Captain America.
Oh, never mind.
Awesome. But speaking of awesome dads and Captain America-like dads, this is what the Aspen Project does. Talk a little bit about the Aspen Project in general, what you guys do for those maybe just joining us for the first time.
You know, the Aspen Project's a little bigger than just foster care adoption, even though that's where we started. And, you know, generally we concentrate there because there are so many kids that are being taken out of families that aren't good families,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have placements for them. They don't have a good, safe, loving home. So we encourage the faith-based community. That's our little buzzword. That's our politically correct word.
Mm.
We're looking for Jesus freaks to take kids into their homes and by living a lifestyle that glorifies God, imprint Christ on these children. Hearts, and let them know that they're loved and they're wanted and they're valuable. And but we do that. We do mentorship programs. You know, we have the Project Zoe. That's a branch of the Aspen Project. And we also go into foreign countries. Right now, we're working on putting some safe homes in Puerto Vallarta. Keep us in prayer on that. It's still in the very beginning stages. We're traveling down to Roosevelt and Curry County. And we're going to be challenging the community down there. We're teaming up with Children, Youth, and Family. And there again, we're plugging into the churches, telling them that God has a purpose and is actually a calling to the church to care for the fatherless and orphan children.
Yeah, absolutely. I love what you guys are doing here. It's amazing because obviously it's very needed. I always say as a product of a single mom, man, mentors, dads, dudes, you have no idea what it means, like, to be a mentor to a child or how greatly it is needed in the life, of, especially young boys.
Well, let's look at you as a perfect example, right? You know,
I'm definitely not a perfect example.
Perfect example. and you know what? Somewhere along the lines, you know, you talk about there's that void in your life. But somewhere along the line, someone introduced you to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
And now you have a permanent Heavenly Father
mm-hmm.
that has absolutely changed who you are. And it broke the chain of, the domino effect of your life going into your children's lives. Because it doesn't mean just because if you hadn't come to Christ, you probably still would have had children.
Yeah.
And you would have raised them differently. But now
Very
you're
different.
Imprinting Christ on their heart because somebody introduced you to a permanent, perfect Heavenly Father.
You know, it's interesting. I was reading a book this last week by Craig Groeschel, and he was talking about the names that we call God. And it speaks to how you
see God, how you believe in him as a his character traits, if you will. So for someone who maybe was very sick, maybe when they pray, they call him healer, my healer, you know, my savior, my comfort, my rest. And I started thinking about that because for me, anytime I pray, anytime I speak to him, anytime I am talking to him, it's either dad, if it's personal and it's just me, or father. That's the way I approach the throne, is calling him my father. And it really, man, it really impacted me when I was reading that, because I realized, yep, that's how I see him, because he's my dad, because I didn't have a dad. And when he became that, and I understood what it meant to have that, that he would never leave me, he'd never forsake me, he loves me. Even when I screw up, he still loves me. Sometimes, of course, he has to spank, and there's instruction that comes along with that and consequences to your actions. However, I know that he'll never cease to he'll never stop loving me. And so it's interesting, and it's just vital, man. Boys need dads. They need good mentors. They need good role models. They need somebody to look up to. And so for dads, maybe this isn't a call for you to be a foster care provider, or, you know, maybe adoption isn't on the docket. Maybe you're just a dad right now who hasn't been that hero, who hasn't been that mentor to your own children, because every child has a need. Maybe this isn't a broken home situation, but calling on all dads to be men, you know, and to take care of your boys, take care of your kids. It's so vital. It's so vital. So,
you know, when we first, my wife came from absolutely nothing. And, we were always pretty tight. My mom was a garage sale shopper. And when we finally started getting stuff and we had our first child, you know, having other kids over at the house and running through the house, and it took me a long time to finally say to myself, this is only stuff.
Yeah.
And the moral of the story is, obviously, we have 10 kids and my couch is ruined. I could have it for 2 weeks and it's ruined.
Hey, man, I have 3 kids and my couch is ruined as well.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Let me tell you, as families, here's what the Aspen Project would like to encourage the Static listeners today. Open your door.
Yeah.
If you are a parent and you have kids, the neighbor kids should come over to your house. Yeah. You know, make sure that... We make sure that if a kid's over and we're eating, I'll do without food to make sure that they have food.
Yeah.
And make sure that they know that. It's kind of funny because we have little rules at our house, you know, and we had one of the little girls, the new kid came over, and they go, hey, they have rules here. No lying or stealing. And then when you get here, you got to go tell Mr. and Mrs. Schroff that you're here. And when you leave, you got to tell them you're leaving.
Yeah.
And it's like the little neighbor kids know the rules to the house. And it's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Man, talking with Clay Schroff from the Aspen Project. We posted details at facebook.com/mystaticradio.
I called you the man on Facebook, Clay.
You're the man.
I am a man for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what, too? If... Right now, if you are a young lady and you are found, if you are pregnant and it's an unwanted or unexpected pregnancy, or if you have had an abortion in the past, first of all, we're encouraging young ladies, there is alternatives to termination of a pregnancy, and we are there to help you through that process. We have tons of families lined up that would make awesome parents, and we have open adoption people who are willing to have open adoptions where they're still willing to stay in contact with you and let you see your child. But if you have had an abortion and you are suffering, or if you are a man and you have driven someone or had brought someone to have an abortion and you're still suffering from the post-abortion, call us, because we want to help with that too. Right now, we have a generation that's suffering. And, you know, a lot of the women who have gone through that are also... 1 out of 4 will try to commit suicide once in their life, and we want to head that off. Because we have a Heavenly Father that loves us so much that He will forgive any sin. Thank God.
AspenProject.org. You can chime in, hang out with us on Facebook as well, facebook.com/mystaticradio. It is 8:15. We got to take a quick peek at traffic.
Let's do it.
All right, taking care of that real quick.
Special thanks to Clay for letting us know what was going on.
No kidding.
Before our map showed us. But on Paseo eastbound, there's been an accident. Paseo Del Norte east at Jefferson is what it says here on a map. But you said it's a little bit before Jefferson, kind of where the road construction begins.
Yeah, but it slows way down.
Yes, and that's what this map is showing. We're down to like 5 miles an hour, 11 miles an hour. So, and that's all the construction I-25 in Paseo. Also, San Antonio and I-25 North, the road is closed due to construction. Also down south at Highway 47, Broadway Boulevard, Southeast South, and Rio Bravo, we've got some construction going on. So be on the lookout for those things and drive safely.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. Also notice right next door, Parchment's Bookstore.
Yes.
Had the Love Matters. Or I mean...
Life Matters.
Life Matters. There's so many great shirts. I was
kudos sporting, to you guys. Matter.
Yeah. You guys love those?
Yes.
Aren't they awesome?
They're pretty awesome.
That tank top will be Mateo's.
Just another rad way you can support the Aspen Project. So the shirts are in Parchment's Bookstore right here on the Calvary campus. And you guys have a whole campaign. New shirts, new...
Every 3 months we come up with a new campaign. So
it's cool. Like
it's just to let people know some of the things we're doing and then get the word out.
Yeah.
Life matters.
I like
yes,
how
it does.
All these things are working together. Because here at Static we feature Aspen Project. Mm-hmm. You guys are working with Parchments. Parchment sponsors Theology Thursday, which is coming up at the 9 o'clock hour.
Boom!
And then SoPo fuels our little radio show every day.
Every day.
With caffeinated delights.
I don't know how I would do without my iced Americano in the morning.
Yeah. Here we are, all working together. Speaking of, I know Michelle posted the other day, there's a young lady that just got a new apartment, and she is in need
of
anything, because it's totally emptied out. So that's a vital need right now if you guys have anything that could help out this lady.
A now need.
And I think she wants Ethan Allen furniture, so that would be nice.
Yes. Don't
just kidding on that.
Don't
but
she
you know
needs
what?
Anything,
hey,
right?
Let me tell you of a donation that someone gave us that is just way too cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Soldiers coming back in World War II, this lady's granddad used to make dressers, handmade. You know how you dovetail them all together?
Yeah.
And then he carved designs in them? She donated that and the bed.
Wow.
And I'm going, I want to bring it home.
Yeah, right. For real.
We did not, but it was so cool.
That's
incredible. You know, and that's something that she could have sold for hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
And she really felt that it would go better to this young lady and her baby that have just come off the streets, help of some folks here in our local community that helped her get into an apartment. And it was just so cool. We went over there, and she was so appreciative of everything we gave her. And she lives in a community where we're going to reach out and make sure we're sharing the gospel, too.
That's cool.
So it gives us a chance not only to bless a young lady who's making strides to do better in life, but it also reflects on the community that she is now moving into, that they have a community of Christians that serve a God that loves them.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Amazing. Amazing.
That's awesome.
Check out all the details at our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio. You can click all the different links, whether it's Aspen Project, Project Zoe. There's many different ways you can get involved in the local community, but the point is to get involved. So, Clay.
Support your local radio station that you're listening to right now.
We're here for you.
MyStaticRadio.com to check out the details for that. We are a listener-supported station. And thanks to every single person who has come alongside us and become a Static fanatic, because those monthly dollars that come in fuel this, keep us going, and allow us to have amazing ministries like the Aspen Project on the show.
Thank you
man.
Very much.
Absolutely. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, it is Theology Thursday. Brian Nixon, Jared Petro, they'll be hanging out with us. Yes. On the way, we got some churches, some Amberlin. Yeah, we play good music.
Yeah, we do, yo.
Right now, it's the Echoing Green on Team Awesome Morning Party.
Right now.
Static.
I just need some time.
Good morning.
Good morning to you there.
Okay, up and at 'em.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Stay away from them.
Static Radio.
Happy Thursday, y'all.
Good morning.
8:31 Mountain Time. Steve-O and Mateo kicking it with you. Welcome to Team Awesome Morning Party.
Oh, yeah.
We are T-minus 28 minutes away from Theology Thursday. And like our normal dates, Petro's early.
Petro
gets anxious.
Petro is early.
He's excited about our times when we hang out together.
Anytime me and Petro go on a date, he gets there 30
hold
minutes
each other
early.
And yeah. It's pretty great. Love that guy.
Petro, we decided we're going to have to send you to San Francisco because there's a millionaire handing out envelopes with $100 bills in it.
Yeah.
And it's like a scavenger hunt. And he tweets like clues. Uh-huh. And then people have been finding it. But it's a total pay it forward thing because they find it and they're inspired by this guy just handing out money. So then they find ways that they can in turn pay it forward.
Your city is actually like shining right now. And I'm like, what is happening? Here's the deal. A rather rich individual said, quote, "I'm in that 1% that some people loathe, but rather than hating people who are successful, my point is to encourage people who've been successful to give back a little bit more." So he started the scavenger hunt. You can find it on Twitter, at Hidden Cash. And he's been throwing out envelopes with $100 bills around San Francisco.
We need to do that with Static Radio.
It's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, everybody needs to put money out, like, and we'll go get it for the station.
It may be 10 bucks.
Or five.
Do you have any money?
Maybe some fives?
No.
Oh, we should do Static Radio. Wouldn't that be awesome?
We've been talking about the Static Scavenger Hunt.
Yeah. Yes,
so,
we have.
So be listening to Static Radio for that. Could be coming up this summer. Very cool. But yeah, people have been doing that.
That's cool. I like that. That's awesome.
Speaking of cities, there's a city. Mm-hmm. It's a Spanish village, if you will, nestled in the plains of northwest Spain. A little village. Now, are you a Spanish speaker there, buddy?
No,
habla español?
No.
Okay. Well, city in Spain has gone by the name for the last few hundred years. It's Castrillo Matajudios.
Say that four times, five times.
Castrillo.
Or don't say it at all.
Don't say it again.
Or don't say it at all because it literally means kill Jews.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I wish everybody in this world could have seen Jarrett's face.
Oh, man.
That face was the best face I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there's a few different stories as to how it got its name. It could be named after a medieval massacre in which citizens of the nearby town of Castro Jeriz killed 60 men in the Jewish community there and drove the rest of the town out. Yeah,
it's
crazy. Another account says that the area they fled to was first called Motujadios, or Hill of the Jews.
Oh, gosh.
And an error by a scribe in the 17th century resulted in the switch from Mota to Mata, which Hill of the Jews and Kill Jews is pretty crazy how it can switch with one vowel. But that's how it happened.
That's crazy.
Another version suggests that after the Spanish Inquisition in 1492, the Jews were forced to either convert to Catholicism or be expelled or killed. So they changed the name of the town to that to prove their loyalty to their new religion. So it could have been that. There's many different stories. Either way, there's freaking town called Kill Jews in Spain, or at least there was.
Yeah.
Last Sunday, the town voted 29-19. Here's the scary thing.
Yeah.
The town voted. 19 people said, no, I like this name. 29 people said, maybe we should change it. So they did, and now it's going to be called Castrillo Moto de Judios, or Hill of the Jews.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in Spanish history, they did, exile a lot of Jews out of Spain. So I'm sure it's during that time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's obviously hundreds of years old. Yeah. I'm shocked that somewhere along the way somebody didn't go, hey, bro, maybe we should change our town name.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking.
I feel like our Jewish community has
especially in this generation.
Like, rather just non-existent here in this region.
It's got to be. That's got to be. How many laws does that break?
I don't know. I don't know. So they're obviously changing it. The mayor of the city, Mayor Rodriguez, he had threatened to resign if the vote went the other way. He was pleased with the outcome, saying the phrase Mata Judios does not correspond with the way this village thinks or acts these days, nor with our village flag, which actually has the Star of David on
it.
Wow. Good grief. That's how it always goes.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Like in the South, me growing up, Morville, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
I can't describe to you how many times dudes would pull up in their 4x4 pickup trucks with gun racks in the truck, in the back, and a Confederate flag either flying from their antenna or draped over the back window listening to rap music. I can't tell you how many times that happened. And it would just be like,
huh?
Where's the disconnect, buddy?
Yeah.
You need to talk. Maybe therapy. Yeah. I don't know.
Hey, I heard that you can't fly the Confederate flag. Is that true? Like it's
no,
it's like a law now. I mean,
really?
You can fly it.
Really?
But you're branded immediately.
There's certain states that you can't.
Yeah,
though,
well,
right?
Probably so.
That you're, yeah, it's considered a felony.
Not in the South. Yeah. The South, everybody's like, no, it's my heritage, man. That's just heritage is all it is. It's just heritage. Not hate, but, you know, I mean, come on.
Well, it's like that in Germany, you know, if you do the, you know, the Heil Hitler salute, you're done. You know, that's kind of the felony, too, so.
Yeah.
But.
Mississippi and Georgia, both of their flags are based on the Confederate flag. North Carolina is based on the state's 1861 flag, which dated back to the Confederacy.
Hmm.
I'm trying to see if there's any...
Yeah, Mississippi's flag kind of... It still contains the Confederate flag.
That's right.
Yeah.
But they've done a lot of changes. Like, a lot of people got up in arms recently because the Ole Miss Rebels had to change their mascot from Colonel Rebel, who was this... It was just a goofy-looking cartoon colonel from the Confederacy running around on the football field. Mm-hmm. But enough people were like, no. So now it's a bear.
Ah, I see.
Which I don't...
How does that fit?
Well, I don't care about sports, so I don't really care. But a lot of people were up in arms about it.
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, you can hang on to heritage for as long as you want, but when your heritage represents a lot of hateful actions...
Oh, it's...
And
even
a lot of misuse of the Bible... Then I don't know why you would want to claim that as your heritage. Like, yes, it's your heritage, but that doesn't mean we're going and flying flags.
Sure.
About it.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's me.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll probably get a few emails and texts from people back home going, now, son, this is where you don't understand. Yeah.
You didn't see my Crusades tattoo I got?
Yeah, I saw that.
Because I'm a Christian, and, you know, I was like, man, I just, best of times, worst of times, I just want to honor, you know, the history of our religion, so, yeah, Crusades!
Well, I guess that is an interesting commentary on why people wear crosses.
It is, because it'd be like somebody today wearing, like, a gas chamber around their neck.
Yeah, because you
like
would think
an electric chamber.
You would think we would all be wearing little necklaces that had, like, a rolled-away tomb, because that's where the victory happened.
Right, right.
But instead,
or
we're
an
like...
anchor, because that was the original symbol.
The anchor,
that's like an actual symbol.
Like
but instead,
hope.
We're like, hey, check out this cross.
It's a symbol of death.
Right. Electric chair. Check it out, man. Death Row Records.
You never
Crucifix.
Know. Yeah. Funny. Maybe we can talk about this in Theology Thursday.
Yeah, I think we should.
All right. That's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. You can get your questions in. Studio@mystaticradio.com is the email address. I looked it up. I couldn't find any state that actually bans the Confederate flag. In fact, it is actually... you can't desecrate that flag in the states in this union. It's still the same way where you can't desecrate it in your big pickup, hanging it in the back. I don't know. Got me,
man. I'll tell you right now.
He's sensitive to that flag, man. My dad.
You notice the accent comes out a little more.
My dad.
I'll tell you. Now, I'll tell you.
He was part of. Do you remember the Confederate Air Force? Steve Ryman remembered it right
away.
And he
goes,
oh yeah, yeah. It was
really.
It was nothing to.
He's not old or anything.
You know, I'm from West. I'm from West Texas. My dad was part of the Confederate Air Force, and it wasn't anything.
Yeehaw.
That was, you know, Southern. Hey, we're
did they actually
crazy.
Have an airplane?
Well, my dad was a pilot. Yes.
Oh, okay.
So the Confederate Air Force. They were a nonprofit organization.
Are you sure it wasn't a mule or something?
A mule,
dude.
A mule with wings.
Confederate Air Force, man.
I got an airplane.
So they were a Texas-based nonprofit organization dedicated to preserving and showing historical aircraft at air shows throughout the U.S. and Canada. So it was like Corsairs and the P-51 Mustang and all these. That's what they would do. But
that's pretty
they
cool.
had the Confederate flag.
Uh-huh.
And so I had all my dad's gear. And for Halloween, I was going to go as a Confederate Air Force.
Sure.
You know, because I have
that
his flight
be cool.
suit and everything. And he was like, nope.
No, dude.
No, you
no,
are
you
not.
Can't do that.
Come on, bro. It's just... It doesn't mean what you think it means. It's not about, like, the South, and I'm like, yay, South and slavery. It was completely different. Nope. So he talked me out of it.
Yeah.
So instead, he let me go as Bill the Butcher from Gangs of New York.
There you go.
So it was pretty great.
I'm totally unattached.
Had a pipe.
That's right.
It was amazing.
Right.
So,
you know.
Totally acceptable.
In defense, it was fictional character versus a very real history of racism and death. But whatever you want to do.
My. That's awesome.
Oh, man. Coming up, Theology Thursday. Get your questions in. We posted it facebook.com/mystaticradio. Speaking of death, our question of the day. Mm. An 80-year-old Puerto Rican woman, she passed away, and before she died, she left very strict instructions to her family for her wake. She wanted to be sitting in her favorite rocking chair with her favorite red cushion in her wedding dress.
Mm.
Yes, there are photos. And,
interesting.
Yes,
come here, Jared.
Them.
I want to show you a photo.
Yeah.
Don't
look. No. Really?
Yeah. At her wake, she's kicking it like Weekend at Bernie style, hanging out in a rocking
that
chair.
That gives me a whole nother... I mean...
Ah! Wow. Stop stop showing the photo.
Let me see.
So okay. Basically, that's what's going on at our Facebook page. If you would like to post how you would like to
that's
be
lovely, man.
Displayed at your wake, would you want to be displayed at your wake?
Yeah, maybe give a peace
mullet,
sign.
Get a wig. Like,
can they put me on a surfboard with hanging loose? Absolutely. That would be awesome.
Obviously,
could you imagine?
They can do so much, and it'll be like you're staying alive. Man.
There's a burgeoning field in human taxidermy. You wouldn't believe it.
She's probably from Mississippi.
Oh, God.
Oh, human taxidermy.
She is from Puerto Rico, dude.
Question of the day. It's posted. You can check it out at our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Quick break coming up. Theology Thursday with Brian Nixon, Jared Pietro,
yeah,
and us. We have people who actually
have responses.
On that. Gosh. We will talk about that as well on the way on Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
What are you talking about?
What kind of talk is this anyway?
Theology Thursday with Steve-O and Mateo. Featuring pastors Brian Nixon and Jared Pietro.
Here it comes.
Let's begin.
Yes! It's that time.
Hooray!
Welcome to Thursday. I know it feels like a Wednesday. Thanks, Memorial Day, for screwing up our week.
But also...
actually, and making it awesome.
Yeah, also making it great.
Yeah, and stuff.
Great!
Welcoming into studio, Pastors Jared Pietro and Brian Nixon.
Greetings. Great to be here. Summertime now.
I know, right?
Summertime!
So here it is. We are live, and we need your questions. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. This is the hour where we get down. We talk serious stuff like the implications of Bono dropping the F-bomb. You know, life-altering questions.
Yeah, like that, of the fall, you know. I actually had a question about about Joseph's dreams and how God can speak through dreams and stuff.
Dang.
So we can always talk about that later. But
heck yeah!
Yeah, there's some good things happening right now.
There are some good things happening.
But the first question that came in, actually the person walked into the studio. So it wasn't an email. It wasn't a Facebook. Yeah. It wasn't a call-in. The person physically walked in the studio and asked the question. And the question was what?
Trisha
Walker, by the way.
Yeah, it was a great one. She came in and said, hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
If you are, you know, just driving around and you're close enough and you want to come in and personally ask us a question,
you can
Phoenix
be awesome.
Just opened the door for that.
Yeah,
so
come on in.
No crazies. Studio at mystaticradio.com is our email address, or give us a call, 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. We had a walk-in question, and the question was this. If God is all-knowing, which, you know, he claims to be, why would he put the tree in the garden to tempt us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great question.
It's a great question. And I'll give the big picture, and then I'll turn over to Jarrett, and he could get specific. But what Trisha Walker, who asked the question, is referring to is Genesis 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it says there in Genesis 2:8, it says, "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed." And of course, part of that garden, as we go down in that text, it says, "But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die." So in verse 8, we learn that the Lord put the garden there. But then in verse 17, we learn that there was a particular tree that the Lord said you should not partake of.
Yeah.
So when you come down to this, why did God do that? And really, there's four views on this. Mm-hmm. The first view is that it shows God did not want to thwart or take away human freedom. That he gave a warning. It was almost like a warning sign, a stop sign or a stop light, where he says, don't do this, don't do this. But he did not want to restrict human freedom, because inherently, what is one of the aspects that make us in the image of God? It's our freedom, personal freedom. So one viewpoint is that it really shows God's justice, and that he made us free creatures and he didn't want to restrict the freedom. The second view is really quite the opposite, and that is the view that God put it there because ultimately God knows people are going to be going to hell. Therefore, this was one of the ways, or the main way, the fall occurred from this. Therefore, God ultimately would be sending people to hell through that. We obviously would disagree with that view. The third view really is another view we would disagree with, and that is what we call process theology. Mm-hmm. Process theology teaches that God is not really all-knowing in how we interpret all-knowing. He may know a lot of things, but he doesn't know how time will unfold. He doesn't know how things will be. So they would say through a process of time, God gave a warning, but he really didn't know if Adam and Eve would take of it. And then, of course, the fourth view that is more from a liberal mindset, they would view this story as a myth. It's something like Aesop's fable. It didn't really happen. It was used by the early Hebrews to teach a lesson that there is good and evil, but the actual story never happened. Now, when it comes to me personally, I go towards the first view, the view of human freedom. People were made in God's image. We have the ability to choose right from wrong. God gave us a warning. People chose to do it, but God did not want to enact his will on our will because that would have thwarted his original purposes for humanity. But that's where I stand. Jared, where are you at?
You know, I like that you brought up Genesis chapter 2 when you talked about there is a tree of life. And then there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so there's actually, I like that you pointed out that there are two trees there. And there were many more, of course. But it's interesting because Adam and Eve chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil rather than the tree of life. But, you know, I just think of Revelation, that the full span of it comes back full circle. I think that God initially put that tree of life because it represented, in many ways, not only his nature, but it was a taste of heaven, if you will, on earth. And because in Revelation 22, it does talk about that, it's the last revelation of Christ, that there will be a tree of life actually in the new heavens and new earth with the river of life that will bear, you know, fruit for a season that will bring healing to the nations. And so it's interesting, just the whole idea of the tree of life in the first place. But I think, you know, in God's intention, he knew what he was doing. I mean, you could even, you know, trace the tree that after man fell, you know, and the ground was cursed, and you think about thorns and thistles, and of course, Christ going to the cross, bearing a crown of thorns to take the curse itself upon his head, and then conquering death, and so he died upon the tree, and I believe that in some ways has a symbol of the knowledge of good and evil, and Christ taking that upon himself. So there's a lot of interesting types, and then the finality of it is that we will actually see the tree of life for believers in heaven. So I think it was in God's intention, and that in his foreknowledge he knew that, because it goes full circle. He had a plan related to the cross and the love of God and bringing pure life and eternal life. And so that's what I would have to say on it, in God's revelation, that he did know, and he in many ways was demonstrating his love all the way through that in his life.
Absolutely. What a great love that is, to know, like, I'm gonna create these people.
Yeah.
They are going to reject me and be idiots. But from the beginning, I'm going to have a plan set forth because I desire them so much that if they would just turn to me, if they would just draw into me, they can be with me eternally because I love them so much. I want to spend some time with these peeps.
Yeah, you know, speaking of Genesis, too, and adding, because I got an email this morning or a text about how God does speak, and one of the questions was, and I'll turn it to Brian first, but was really with Joseph, and when he was in Egypt, God had given him visions and dreams, and, you know, even prior to going to Egypt and taken captive, and so the question was, does God speak through dreams, and does he speak through visions? And so, Brian.
Well, before I answer that specifically, let me give obviously the big picture.
Yeah.
That how does God speak? You know, and I think when we look at the biblical record, we find that God speaks in multiple ways. Mm-hmm. One way is God physically speaks to a person. We find that throughout the early book of Genesis with Abraham, with Isaac, that he is actually there speaking to them. Whether that's an audible voice or a voice of the interior life, we don't know. But what the text clearly says is God is speaking to them. So God physically speaks to people. I think God also can speak through nature. And we learn that, let's say, in Psalm 29. Mm-hmm. Psalm 29 clearly indicates that God is speaking through nature.
Yeah.
The voice of God being heard, or the attributes of God being seen through nature. Thirdly, God speaks through his word. Mm-hmm. And we find that throughout all of Scripture, you know, be it Old Testament, New Testament, all the writers clearly indicate that God is speaking through Scripture, Old and New Testament. But then, the fourth area that God speaks, as Jared alluded to, are in through signs and wonders, dreams and visions. And those are clearly biblical manifestations that God can speak. Supernatural impartations, if you will, of God speaking mm-hmm. in a situation through either a vision, a dream, or other manifestations. So I think there are multiple ways God speaks, but the dreams and visions are one of those ways.
Also, when Anthony Hopkins gives you some crazy, crazy mushrooms, you have wicked dreams, and God tells you to build an ark through that.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm just saying, shout out. Nobody saw that.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. You know, I would think too.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Yeah. And you know, when God does speak, I think it's fascinating that even through Daniel, when you think about how God's really through a dream of Nebuchadnezzar through another person, that's what's fascinating. Then God gives the actual interpretation through Daniel, which is pretty profound. But I would give you one other verse, those listeners out there that, you know, want a few other passages. One Brian mentioned, I think of Psalm 19. I think of where God does speak through creation and general revelation, and then specific. Hebrews chapter 1 also says, and I'll just read this to you. It says, long ago and many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. And so I even think that the final revelation, of course, the finality of God speaking would be through Jesus Christ, who is actually takes a title called the Word of God. He became flesh, that the Word himself, God's very Word, actually is God speaking. So it's not a matter of if God is speaking, but rather that he is because of through Jesus Christ. And then we have the final revelation that God, he spoke in different ways in different times, and, you know, by the prophets of old and different signs and dreams and visions. And the finality of that is through Jesus Christ. So I think we're going to go to another question here, but so far we're doing a good pace here.
But just to summarize, you know, so God can speak physically, audibly. He could speak through nature, speaks through his word, old and new, speaks to us supernaturally through visions and dreams, but then finally speaks to us through Jesus Christ. So that answers whoever asked that question. We appreciate the question.
God speaks to me through the lottery. What I like to do is spend at least $500 a day on lottery tickets. And I feel like I'm justified in that.
Yeah, because he speaks to you through the idea. Because you always lose out, and you're like, man, I should be a better steward.
Well, they cast lots in the Bible, and this is my version of casting a lot
of money
out of the lot's bank account.
That's good theology.
Thank you,
great theology.
Speaking of great theology,
it's hermeneutics.
We've been talking about our new segment, 6 a.m. Hour. Matt and I would love to, you know, we know some friends who are dream interpreters who will in turn help others. So if you have a freaky weird dream and you'd like to call in, we'll have them come in at some point.
Should do that, Matt.
That's coming up on Team Awesome Morning Party.
I'm not called to do that, but I know somebody who
we know people who so we'll bring them in.
Maybe Grandpa Fran could do that.
Maybe, we don't know. Speaking of Jesus and speaking, this last week, the Pope and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu went into a Royal Rumble WWE match. Only one chair was thrown. There was a couple elbow drops. It was amazing. Pope Francis and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu traded some words Monday.
Right.
Over that very thing. The language Jesus spoke.
Yes.
So obviously Netanyahu said Jesus was here in this land. He spoke Hebrew. And the Pope interjected and said, Aramaic. And then Netanyahu said, girl, he spoke Aramaic, but he knew Hebrew. What? And then it was like, oh, no, you didn't. And then, like, it got all Jerry Springer and the Pope Netanyahu were like,
that guy said, who do you think you are, the Pope?
And it was like,
No! And then they got in a fight.
Because he was the Pope.
Well, so the answer to this question, believe it or not, is the Pope is correct. Jesus most likely, as his day-to-day language, was Aramaic.
Okay.
However, Jesus being the consummate, let's say perfected Jew, would have spoke Hebrew. He would have known it. But in the culture in which he lived, the day-to-day language, the language of the common person was Aramaic. And Jesus would have communicated with others through Aramaic. But Jesus knew Hebrew as well. So they, in a sense, are both right. Jesus spoke Aramaic and he spoke Hebrew.
So would it be like in the state of New Mexico, we are in America. Mm-hmm. Our native tongue here is American.
American.
Right? Okay.
American.
However, depending upon where you go, Spanish is also an accepted language.
Actually, we're one of the only states in the Union that has Spanish as one of the official languages.
Right. So would it be a situation where Aramaic being that native tongue, if you will, but Hebrew,
absolutely.
Because of whether it's religious tradition. Yeah. I know many
great
churches
example.
Here where it's a Spanish-speaking church.
Yep.
For, you know, religious reasons or whatever it is.
And let me even throw something out. Now, this isn't proven, but some scholars even believe that Jesus may have had a working knowledge of Greek and possibly knew some popular Latin terms. Why? Because
the
They lived influence. In a Roman-conquered
absolutely.
Land. So he would have been familiar with certain Latin terms. And Greek was the intellectual language of the day. It was like what the intellects would have learned. Okay. So Jesus probably spoke Aramaic, knew Hebrew, but even had a working knowledge or a general
Greek,
understanding of Koine Greek as well as terms in Latin.
There you go. So it's kind of like how we know text speak because it's becoming common.
Sure.
You know?
But that's a great example.
And
better yet is someone who lives in Europe. Let's say you live in France.
Yeah.
You have a general understanding of Spanish. You have a general understanding of Portuguese and maybe even a little German.
Right.
Why? Because they're all living around you.
Right.
That's probably how it was with Jesus. Now, we say this and there are some. Jared and I had a colleague back in California, who is adamant. He even wrote a book about it, that Jesus only spoke Hebrew. And that goes against every grain of evidence that's out there. The reality is Jesus probably had a general understanding of all the different languages.
So can you say the Pope is right?
I would say the Pope is right and Benjamin Netanyahu's right. Jesus probably had a good grasp of both Hebrew and Aramaic.
When he went into the temple and read from the scroll of Isaiah saying that that was in Hebrew, right?
That's
he was
exactly
reading
right.
to the Jews. But then some of his direct quotes
are Aramaic. That's exactly right. So. And what we find in the gospel writers, they actually have to retranslate. What this means is this, because there's either spoken in Aramaic or Hebrew. So Jesus, again, probably spoke both.
Is this, I'm going to ask you guys a question. Here it is, Theology Thursday, which, by the way, if you'd like to chime in, hang out with us.
338-3700.
Boom, that's 338-3700. You can also send us an email, studio@mystaticradio.com. Why are these conversations important? Because this was a few thousand years ago, and I immediately think your friend who wrote that book, it just sounds so pious to assume that, I know what Jesus spoke, because this was 2,000 years ago and I wasn't there, but I'm going to make an assumption. And you know what happens when you assume, right?
That's right.
You make a donkey
out of you and me.
You know, I would say that a lot of times, with written language.
Don't assume.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think it is. I think it is important because, when you do go back to study, any pastor really knows this, that, you go back to original language, you do look at the Hebrew, you would look at the Greek, and, you would, determine key words, and they just have more flavor to them, if you will. A lot of the words that we don't have in the English language. So I think it is important to understand the written language.
Yeah.
Written language can be even different than spoken language, as Brian pointed out. So
And the crazy thing is, Jared, as you alluded to, is the how language progresses and grows truly is a fascinating, fascinating, component.
Yeah, right.
We had a friend back in California, Dr. Fred Fields. He taught at the University of Northridge or something of that nature. But he was one of the early Jesus people, and he was a linguistic expert. And just to sit and hear him talk about how languages progressed and how they developed, it truly is a marvel. And Fred actually wrote a book for Calvary Chapel Publishing several years ago. We don't carry it at Parchments, but you could always go online and try to find Fred's book about language development.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Excellent.
Amazing.
Okay.
It is Theology Thursday.
We just got an email.
Okay.
It's from our friend Tiffany. Greetings. I have a few friends on Facebook who post things that attack the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Can't imagine that happening. The link below is one example. I just wanted to know if there's a good resource that would help explain those tough verses in the Bible that people like to use to make the Bible seem like it's not valid today. The verses in the link and other verses, such as the ones in Leviticus and Deuteronomy about killing children that dishonor parents or women that were not virgins for marriage, etc. I would like to know how I can reason with unbelievers intelligently about these hard passages. I don't like to debate on Facebook. Good on you, Tiffany. But if I ever am involved in a conversation where I can offer an explanation, kindly, I realize these things are spiritually discerned and God has to lift the veil off unbelievers' eyes. I just want to be a little bit better prepared. The law can be viewed as very harsh by unbelievers that don't understand the seriousness of sin. Also, how does one explain that Jesus, the image of the invisible God, came to do away with the law that he set up in the Old Testament? It can be quite confusing to an unbeliever. Thank you, Tiffany. And she provided a link to a BuzzFeed list. And it's those verses that we're probably all thinking of. Number two being my favorite verse, I permit no woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She is to keep silent. And that's New Testament, so yeah. Awesome.
Let me just say, Tiffany's question, like so many we get on Facebook, have so many different layers to it. She went from, you know, how can we trust the Bible, to, you know, our inaccuracies, to asking specific questions. So let me handle the first part first. How can we trust the Bible and good resources for that? First of all, let me just say that the example you gave, Tiffany, was not an inconsistency. Now, people may disagree that God allowed people to come and have people murdered. They may see that as a moral blotch or something on God's character. But that doesn't mean that the Bible is inconsistent or that it is showing that it is wrong. That's a different question that we'd have to tackle. But if you're talking about parts in the Bible that are apparently contradictory or inconsistent, I would recommend Norman Geisler's book, When Skeptics Ask, or his book on difficult passages of the Bible. Mm. Norman Geisler has kind of tackles both of those themes that you brought out in your question. What we think are contradictions in the Bible, he handles those in the Bible Difficulty book. And in the second book, When Skeptics Ask, he answers those questions about evil and why God would allow this. So I think you need to get both books to answer the two types of questions you are getting. Mm-hmm. But the third element about Jesus, coming to take away sin, I'll let Jarrett handle that one.
Yeah. What was the question again? Can you restate it specifically?
There were a couple. Okay. She just wants to know if she's involved with a conversation where people are asking for explanations on these hard things, if there's a way for her to be better prepared on how to approach them.
Sure. Which, by the way, tackling them on Facebook, there's like a fine line, because on one hand, if you don't speak up, all the idiots win,
right?
Because then it's just like this rant and trolling of how off the Bible is. But if you do speak up, it's really hard to have an intelligent conversation on Facebook.
Yeah, that's right.
There almost
you
needs
have
to be a forum where you go, hey man, let's go to coffee.
Right.
I would love to rap about this.
If you want to keep it on the internet, then I would say just personally message the person.
Yeah.
Because that's a one-on-one conversation over the internet. Or, more importantly, go to coffee with the person.
Right. Because anytime somebody even texts me a hard question, I will in turn respond by calling them. And if they don't answer, I go, hey, I'm not answering this over text. This is way too much. Call me back.
It's best to talk in person. And, you know, I think what Brian said as far as, you know, equipping yourself. But, you know, there's nothing better than just really going through the Word and get a working knowledge of the Scriptures yourself. And, you know, when you think about those questions, even writing those down and then going back through Scripture and looking up every verse related to it, I think so often you can look at something, you know, a question, and just take it out of context with one or two verses of the Bible, where you got to look at the consistency through, you know, all 66 books of the Bible. You got to see God's character in it. You got to see His nature, what's being communicated, how it's being directed. Oftentimes in hermeneutics, usually when you approach any type of question, is to ask like five questions. Those five questions we refer to like the five W's: who's speaking, where's this happening, what's going on, why, when, all those kinds of things. So it's really important in context to look at what is happening rather than taking it out of context. So all I could say is, you know, a lot of, you know,
our questions that we deal with is really having a good working knowledge of Scripture and God's heart in it.
Yeah. So, and let me just go back. Both of those books, Tiffany, when critics ask, that's the one that deals with the Bible difficulties. And the second book, when skeptics ask, that's the book that will deal with, like, why would God allow evil? Why would God allow this group to kill this group? So both of those books are great tools for you to get your hands on. If you call Parchments or go to parchments.com, mm-hmm. or go to your local bookstore, or come here if you're in Albuquerque, yep. to the campus, and look up When Critics Ask and When Skeptics Ask.
Yeah, and you know, one last thought on that too is, you know, it's in some ways, even on this program, it's easy to maybe just give a simple answer, but the thing is then the next time you're confronted with it, you didn't know where you know to find that. So that's why I say get a working knowledge of the Scripture and use the resources that Brian mentioned, because when you are faced with that question again or something like that, then you know exactly where to go in your own Bible, where to, you know, find the research, because so often, you know, we forget things. You read yeah. something and, you know, maybe, you know, something that's, you know, trusted, and, you know, this station is for that, but one of our goals is to be able to get these tools into your hands.
Right yeah. on, there we go.
You know what I'm saying?
Theology Thursday, you can hang out with us today, 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. Yeah, give us a call. Producer Doug.
He's standing by.
He's kicking it. Did we have it? I know we always like, put away older emails into the Theology Thursday. Did I accidentally put some away? Do you know?
I looked a while ago, and I think we covered all the ones so far.
Now, going through to try and help Tiffany a little more, I know that we gave the basis behind it, and I know that...
Yeah, we didn't really answer final question. So Matt, why don't you reread her, because she started off asking for resources,
yeah.
you know, how to get people tagged, and then she asked a specific question.
About Jesus. She right. says, also, how does one explain that Jesus, the image of the invisible God, came to do away with the law that he had set up in the Old Testament? It can be quite confusing to an unbeliever.
Yeah, so the idea of Jesus doing away with the law.
Yeah, let me answer that first. I would say, you know, Jesus never said he would do away with the law, rather that he fulfilled the law.
That's
and that's
it.
Important to realize that, you know, the law was not bad. Even Paul describes this in Romans from chapter 7 and 8 as well, that the law was never bad. Jesus said, I never came to delete the law or take it away, but rather I came to fulfill it. And that's found in Matthew, I believe, chapter 18 as well. So, you know, the interesting thing about that is, you know, Christ as the image of God, he came in the image of God, and as it says, and that's in Philippians chapter 2, by the way, is that he came in the likeness of man, never really setting aside the image of God, if you will, but laid aside his attributes in the sense to be man. But in that, he fulfilled the law in perfection so that he would know what we deal with, as it says in Hebrews chapter 6. So he would know, as our high priest, chapters of Hebrews 5 and 6, where we would, he could empathize with us, not only sympathize, but empathize with our, you know, sin nature. And so he fulfilled it in perfection, fulfilling the law, providing, if you will, the righteous standing for us to be stand before the Father. So I'm going to start there, turn it over to Nixon.
And let me say, Tiffany, Jarrett gave you Romans. I would also go to Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, where Paul really deals with this head on, just like he did in Romans. And Paul goes on to explain that the law was a tutor. It was like a school teacher teaching people what is right and wrong, what is the high standards of God. But again, to make the point Jarrett already made, Christ didn't do away with the law. He fulfilled the law. And think of it like this. Paul's argument is a larger argument of going back to faith. Before there was the law, before Moses enacted the law, coming down from the, you know, the mountain, bringing tablets, how did people live? They lived by faith. And so Paul is over and over making the point that the law, God allowed the law to bring people back in line because they were swerving, they were swaying. But God's original intention, his original purpose was that they would live by faith. Abraham lived by faith. You get that? in Genesis.
Right.
Joseph lived by faith. Isaac, the list could go on and on of all those patriarchs who lived by faith. So Paul is saying God's original intention was that we live by faith. So Christ, as the second Adam, is going back to the first principles of God. And those first principles are that we are to live by faith. Again, the law served its purpose. Christ fulfilled that. But he's bringing us back to God's original intentions. His original purposes is that we live by faith.
Yeah, in Galatians 3:10, as Brian mentioned, for all who rely upon the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all these things, for it is written in the book of the law to do them. And then he continues, now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. So the idea of, you know, even Abraham, it says that Abraham lived by faith when he was still yet a Gentile. And then it continues that the law is not, rather, those who live by faith shall be saved by faith. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So the interesting thing is Christ fulfilled that and became the curse for us. That's an excellent answer. And again, that's in Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 all through really the whole book itself. But so living by faith. Important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Extremely important.
All right. The phone lines are jammed, so we need to get to some phone calls here. If you would like to chime in, 505-338-3700. You can also send us an email if you can't get through on the phone, studio@mystaticradio.com. Let's go to line one. Hello.
Yeah, I got a question for you guys.
All right.
Genesis 6, chapter 6, verse 5 through 8, talks about that God was sorry that he made man on the earth.
That's a good one.
That's a kind of tough verse, because I don't know about you, I've done a lot of stupid things, and whenever I'm sorry, I'm like, man, if I could just go back and not do that, it'd be all right.
Yeah.
I understand God's not like us, but maybe shed some light on that verse, because that's a kind of difficult verse.
It is a difficult verse, and you know what we have to do when we look at things like that, you really have to have a general understanding of the context of the scripture, and then specifically, you need to look at the various meanings of a particular word. So when we look at Genesis chapter 6, the context, what is being said, what the story, the narrative that's being written about, is the wickedness of man. And so what is being written is that the Lord looked down and he saw that man was incredibly wicked. And as a matter of fact, in verse 3 of chapter 6, it says, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. And so the Lord is so grieved, so upset of how mankind has strayed from God's original purposes and intentions, he is grieved. So the context is a very depraved and evil context that is being written. So when you get to the specificity where it says the Lord was sorry, you have to really look at what that word means.
Right.
So go ahead, Jared.
Yeah, you know, I think of in Genesis 6, as you were mentioning, that God regretted because of every intention of man's heart was wicked before him continually, is that that's exactly what it means. The idea of the old King James even brings up repented, that God repented. That, the idea is returning, that God, you know, repentance means to turn, and so to turn around. And so in many ways, God, he was turning around in the sense that he was taken aback by, if you will, the image that God created him. I think if anything, that proves that man has a free will, and being created in the very image of God is astounding. And yet here man chose, every intention was wickedness, that God was grieved. That's what it means. He turned, his heart was turned by the fact that man was, his intention was wickedness. And therefore he judged the earth. As you know, in the passage, it was the story of Noah. And so, and personally, when I read that, I don't necessarily have a hard time with that. But it's not that he regretted, like, oh, I wish I would have never made them. His heart was turned to grieving.
Yeah.
And that's what it implies.
And Jared, you hit on it, because once we understand the context, the larger picture of what's being described, we have to look specifically at the word. And the word, as you pointed out, has various meanings.
Right.
The actual Hebrew word is nesham. And its primitive root, it means to sigh,
yeah,
almost to have like
exactly.
a... Exactly. Like, I can't believe this is going on. To, like, breathe strongly. But it goes on to describe this idea that God does have pity. There's this deep down idea that he's trying to console himself with how evil man has went. And Jared, as you point out, you know, God, the King James Version, repent, because God, the sorrow, the pity is so deep. He's so grieved over this that he almost is like turning around saying, humanity, this is not what I intended for you.
Yeah, and one other thing to our listener and anybody else listening on this station is that, you know, the Lord, you got to remember, we were just talking about written language. When, you know, Moses is writing this, you got to understand, in his best way to put this in human language, in the Hebrew originally, is he is describing this with maybe one word that is the most available word that he can use, that the totality, but really the word even falls short. And so often the Bible can do that at times, where it's trying to describe a human attribute with God, which is beyond human. And so in a written word, he puts the word, God's heart was turned, it was grieved, he was moved by this, and therefore he must judge because he's righteous, all loving, but all righteous. Yeah. So I hope that helps.
Here's what one writer said, and we'll conclude with this. Humanity's preoccupation with evil grieved God in his heart. So the idea is that it was so grievous to God, he was almost consoling himself. There was pity, there was sorrow.
Yeah. There you go. It helped you.
Hopefully that helped you.
Which alleviates a phone line for you if you'd like to call in. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. Or you can chime in through, various ways. You can Facebook us, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Or send us an email, studio@mystaticradio.com. Let's go to line two. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. So my question has to deal with, I think, sometimes the contradiction between being able to defend your faith, because we are so assailed today in society by so many different things that we are taught are wicked, and still being able to find that within your heart to love the sinner but hate the sin. Are you with me on that?
Sure.
And I think that's really hard. And I see my son, he's only 5, but I see him kind of struggle with that from time to time. Yeah. And he's really gotten into Gideon and Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you reconcile, I guess, even for within myself, but also for somebody who is young as he is?
You know, I would say, I look back again, I go back to Scripture, you know, as a believer and as a dad especially. It's great that, you know, your son loves Joshua and Gideon. Those are great men of the Bible. I look at a person, of course, like Jesus, and when the woman was caught in adultery, in the very act of sin, Jesus told the woman something very interesting. He said to the woman, he said, I do not condemn you, but he says, go and sin no more. And the point there is that, you know, obviously, you know, in our nature, we're going to sin. But, you know, it's not like Jesus is excusing the woman's sin when she was actually caught in sin, but everybody's guilty. Mm-hmm. But he does make a stand by saying, go and sin no more. So I believe, again, God would never allow or never say anything without allowing us to have the power to actually do it. So in respect to even, you know, as you're mentioning, how do you deal with that when someone's sin, love the sinner but hate the sin, is that, you know, when you're around people and let's say there is an act of sin against you, is that you must forgive them as the Bible talks about, and there must be that, you know, hating the sin. Of course, God hates the sin. I mean, it cost him his son's life for, you know, heaven's sake, right?
Right.
And for earth's sake in that way. But go and sin no more. So we don't, in many ways, as Paul would say, re-crucify Jesus by, you know, actively sinning. So, you know, God has a way of giving us the power to overcome sin. You know, I think as believers listen to this too, is that we need to be more forgiving and have the nature
Absolutely.
Of God and forgive the sinner. And then, you know, with that intention, go and sin no more. And it takes the power of God to do that in someone's life.
Great answer to that. I'm going to pick up on his initial part of his question about, you know, defending. How do we defend?
Excellent.
Well, I think it really comes back to understanding the time to defend and the time to proclaim. And really, when you look at the totality of church history, in the early church, you had those people who defended. They were apologists, if you will. And we don't mean they were apologizing for the Christian faith. They were defending. They were saying, this is what the Bible teaches. This is what we're going to stand on. At other times, you're proclaiming what the Scripture is saying. And so I think in each individual's heart, you've got to find the times when you're defending, maybe when the critic or someone is just pointing a finger in your face, you just defend Scripture. At other times, you're proclaiming the good news of the, you know, of Jesus Christ. Yeah. So I think you really have to have a good, you know, understanding of the situation you're dealing with, to have a good read on it, and then either defend or proclaim, depending on what type of situation you're
you
in.
You just said something, I think, profound, because that's exactly it. You have to have a good understanding of the situation. For you, sir, I think with your five-year-old, a potential reason why it can be difficult, because I have three boys, and it is definitely difficult. For me, personally, in my heart, I know that there was a time where I was definitely more quote-unquote judgmental, where I did not have that compassion, because I can't understand this sin, because I would never. And when I realized that I am capable of anything, of the most heinous of acts, of the most heinous of crimes, because if I've thought about murder in my heart, if I have hatred in my heart, it's like committing murder. If I have lusted after a woman in my heart, I've committed adultery, and therefore for me, instead of looking down on that person with contempt because I can't believe they would do something like that because I don't understand the situation, I think when you realize or you have those experiences where you've either fallen in sin or you've been tempted by sin and come out the other end of it, you in turn become more compassionate. In my life personally, I know that has been the case for me. I tend to have more compassion on those when I understand, man, I'm so susceptible to that. I'm so capable of that I can't look down on them because I am guilty in my heart of the same thing.
Yeah,
so,
I totally agree. Yeah. I think grace allows us to meet people where they are.
Absolutely.
Because we realize that's the great equalizer between us and God.
That's exactly right.
Through Christ. But then also, something that I struggle with, I feel like I'm kind of in your boat because there's been plenty, for so long, I think, traveling on the road, you know, it's really difficult to get into conversations about this type of thing with people that you're going to see for like an hour and then never see again.
Right.
You know, so it's hard to understand situations. And so my whole, like, I guess in a lot of ways, I put up walls when it came to like defending the Bible. But then one of the cool things that I've learned since being here at the station is that truly, the word as we have it is very defendable. Now, I don't like, well, I shy away a lot, and it's probably because of my background, from the real militaristic, like, gotta defend the Bible, because all of a sudden God can't defend himself. But the thing is, for me, we have something that's so special and so precious that can be backed up.
Yeah.
You know, not only just because the preacher said it, because there's so much evidence. Like, these scriptures that we have... they're so reliable. In some ways, they're more reliable than some of the documents we have from, like, Shakespeare.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Which are so much more recent. And that takes a lot of research and a lot of stuff to figure out. That's why I'm thankful for Theology Thursday and getting to hang out with these guys.
Yeah.
But it's true, you know. And the thing about it is realizing that we don't have to defend it, you know, like with a punch or with a kick. We can defend it in a graceful, loving way because God's given us that opportunity to do it.
Right. Yeah. Right. And again, knowing the time, knowing the season. There are seasons in our life where we defend it in love, as Mateo said.
Yeah.
And there are times when we're not even going to defend. We're just going to proclaim it.
Right.
Someone who's heavy of heart, who needs to hear that news, you're not defending it. You're just proclaiming it to them. So really know when the opportunity is that you're going to defend it, and then the other times you're going to proclaim it.
It's so funny we use the word defend because obviously we think of defense, and yet we become so offensive when it comes to the scriptures that we are almost attacking.
Right.
Thank you so much for the call.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. And it's so cool that, you know, obviously he's reading scripture his son, you know, and his son's getting into elements of the Bible. And you know, for all the parents out there who are listening, what a great way to, you know, to introduce the Bible to him through Bible stories and letting the kids get excited about elements of the Bible.
Yeah, absolutely. It is Theology Thursday. We've got about 10 minutes left of show.
And we just
if you would
email.
Like to chime in, perfect. 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. We just got an email question in at studio@mystaticradio.com.
Who's this email question from?
This is from our friend Andrea, an on-air listener from Colorado.
Andrea from Colorado, beautiful state.
Or Andrea. one. Mm-hmm. And speaking of defense and proclamation. Good morning, guys. So in my little town of Montrose, Colorado, it seems that the LDS missionaries are revamping a strong effort to spread their message. I haven't seen them in such numbers in a very long time. Long story short, I've done much personal study on the Mormon beliefs and even took part in a mission trip to Salt Lake City, visiting BYU and other LDS establishments. I personally know the differences between the LDS cult and biblical Christianity. However, it's really hard to address any of these arguments in a loving, Jesus-like way when two quote-unquote pumped-up LDS missionaries show up at your door ready to argue. I'm more than willing to invite them back to my home to have a normal conversation along with one of my Calvary Chapel Montrose pastors who is well-studied on this cult and has a heart to reach those lost in the beliefs. I wanted to know, or to ask, how each of you personally handle that knock at the door. Thanks so much.
Let's talk about
great,
this.
Great yeah, question.
This is, know
you
know
what?
Each of us, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Woo!
All right.
I'm ready. No, that's not
I love it. You know, Andre, it's great to have you listening on air from Colorado, first
yeah.
of all. It's great to hear that. Yep. It's great to hear that, you know, you're sharpening the sword as well. Yeah. I want to start out just, I think of 1 Peter chapter 3. You probably know this passage, but in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it does talk about honoring God and giving a hope for the reason that is in us. So mm-hmm. let me read this to you. It says, "But in your hearts, always honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and respect."
Mm-hmm.
I want to start off with that because I think it's honorable. There's a testimony to be said, as Matt earlier said, about the grace of God. I think you need to take a stand, of course, and, you know, with gentleness and respect to the Lord and give an answer, give a reason for the hope that is in you. That's the key, the hope that is in you. Mm-hmm. Now, you may find yourself stumped, and there are times where, you know, there's an intention behind whether it's Mormon or LDS, whether it's Jehovah's Witness, coming at you with an intention. And I believe that, you know, the Lord is pretty clear about that because he does talk, and this is again in 2 John, about those who have gone out and are not of the Lord. And it's clear that in a cult like that, and I'll just be straightforward with those types of religions, that they're not, what they do with Jesus is not according to the scripture. They don't believe he is God. So with that, Paul or John says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh, for such is the deceiver and the Antichrist," or the spirit of the Antichrist. He says, "Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for." So let me just encourage you with that, that it's okay when someone comes to your door. If you know that you've already had a conversation with them, you've already showed them gentleness and kindness, the hope that is in you, that I would even say, if you feel like, you know what, they're not receiving this, it's okay to keep the door closed. And John even says that, to not allow them into your home, because there comes a point, no matter who it could be, where if they're not receiving the testimony of Jesus Christ in your life, there's no more you can do. It's a work of the Spirit. So I hope that helps in a certain level. Brian's going to take it from here.
Yeah, I think to equip yourself, as Jared said, you have to become familiar with Scripture, which is know, marvelous that you're up there at your church doing so. But secondly, you have to equip yourself personally. So when you're dealing with Mormons and any other cult, mm-hmm. you really have to understand where they're coming from. And then you have to be able to give them a reasonable response. So the book Reasoning from the Scriptures with Mormons by Ron Rhodes, again, Reasoning from the Scriptures with Mormons by Ron Rhodes, is a great way for you to understand some basic Mormon doctrine and then some scriptural responses. Or if you don't have any money, you could go online. There is a great website. It's abbreviated CARM, but it stands for Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. And a gentleman by the name of Matt Slick runs that. And in his Mormon doctrine section, he basically gives you the five major parts that Orthodox Christians or Bible-believing Christians disagree with Mormons. Number one, Mormons teach in some form or fashion that God came from another planet, that God is almost like a, almost angelic in response versus, you know, supernatural or omnipotent.
Wait,
and all-powerful.
That's not true. I thought it came from Zargnon.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Crap,
I'm way off.
You're way off. Secondly, God is a man with the body of flesh and bones. Now, obviously, they would look at Jesus at a certain level, but they have a skewed vision of God. They also would teach in a kind of ethereal way, there is a mother goddess somewhere out there, that God had relations with this. God and his goddess wife are married, and then ultimately you can become gods. And those are some of the major components that we as Christians, Bible-believing Christians, would disagree with. So if you had ways to find the answers, either through a book like Ron Rhodes or a website, when these guys come at you, as Jarrett pointed out, they will try to put you in a corner.
Come at me, bro!
They'll always try to stump you. But what you can do is stump them back. Yeah. And not that you want to fight, because I agree with Mateo and Jarrett. Mm-hmm. It needs to be in grace and love. Because if it just comes down to fist fights, no one's winning at this.
Oh, I always win.
Yeah, I know, other than Steve-O. But you really do need to find the proper answers. Yeah.
We'll get there.
Here's the thing. Yeah. She asked a very specific question, so I'm going to give each of us a minute on this because it's 9:51.
Yeah.
Her question is this. How each of you personally handle that knock on the door? So
right.
Let's say, for instance, they show up at your door. How do you personally handle it?
Well, I personally say, hey, how are you guys doing? And then obviously they're Mormons. I notice you're Mormons.
Yeah.
And of course they, well, yes, sir. You know, we're with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I'd say, you're probably here to talk to me about Mormons.
Yeah.
And I said, this is how I started. Now, okay. I don't recommend everyone for this.
Right.
I would say I'm well-versed in your particular religion, and I go, I believe it's a cult. And if you want me to spend a couple of hours with you and download with you why you're a cult and why you're not biblical, I'll gladly do so.
Right.
I have no problem. But if you're here to try to convince me of your religion, not only do I have sociological reasons why you're a cult, I have biblical reasons, I have theological reasons, and I have historical reasons.
They run away by this time.
I have historical reasons of
and then they paint a red X on his
that's good.
Door.
Of unfulfilled prophecy and everything else.
Okay.
So I come in from multifaceted ways. And then the veracity of the writings of Joseph Smith. But it will take me a couple of hours to go through this.
What Brian is saying that is he's straightforward. He lets them know what he knows first.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's important. You know, I say no matter what knock you get at the door.
No,
you know,
what you happens pray, with you? She asked you personally. What
I
happens?
Would say, oh, you're from Disneyland because I see the badge on your shirt. Not, and
she's asking a real question.
No, I know that. You know, I would just say hi to them. I would step outside my house. There's a reason personally that I wouldn't let them in. But I would step outside and I would begin to talk to them and let the dialogue happen as it is. Yeah. I would tell them that, there have been times where I don't say I'm a pastor, but usually when you say, look, I'm a pastor of a local church here, and, you know, like Brian said, I got to be honest with you.
They usually back up.
They usually do.
They usually want to walk away.
Let me just say this. It always comes down to what a person does with Jesus. So our listeners, you listen to this whole show, I would say the same thing to you. Who do you say that Jesus is?
Right.
Is he the Son of God? Did he come in flesh? Did he fulfill the law as we talked about today? Is he the Word of God in flesh? And what a person does with that is up to them. But Jesus said, by those very words, his very words and his works proves that he is. So if you're listening, I mean, simply you have to deal with what Jesus says. Who do you say that he is? Is he the Son of God? Is he the resurrection and the life? Is he the living water? Is he God himself? And he claimed to be so. And that's what you have to deal with.
And on the compassionate level, as we talk about this, for me, I always think of I have been ensnared by false doctrine in the past. We all have, whether it's growing up and your youth pastor said this and you're like, that's got to be right on. I'm going to follow that.
Yeah.
This is definitely a cult.
Absolutely.
They are ensnared in some false doctrine. And so when I started off, I am kind. I'll open the door and say, how's it going? There have been plenty of times where I have invited them back to my house for dinner because I'd like to really bro down with them. I have never been taken up on the offer. No one has ever returned back to my house.
You know, and the thing is that I like Brian's approach too with the idea that, you know, it's based on a man. And any religion based on a man like Joseph Smith, you know, and speaking of Mormonism directly, you have to look at that and go, you know, this is not of the Lord. So it's based on a man. The history alone is not there.
Yeah.
You got to ask Mateo. She asked the question what he would do. What would you do,
knock
Mateo?
Knock on the door. Knock on the door. Okay. Knock, knock, knock.
Hello, Mormons.
Hi, hello. I am here to... Are you the man of the house?
Yes, I am. According to a newly posted article, part of a series of recent online articles posted on your website of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you say I don't get my own planet anymore.
And so I'm not in. Goodbye.
Door closes. That's it.
You give me my own planet and we'll talk.
But Zargnon.
Zargnon is not real. And you told me, and I'm sad.
Yeah.
And I wanted my own planet, and I was going to name it Matthew's Uranus, and now I can't.
Can I add some hope into this?
Absolutely.
And the hope is this, that when the gospel is clearly presented, as Jared said, when we proclaim Christ, we can see fruit within the Mormon church.
Yeah.
And I know people who we highly respect, like Ravi Zacharias, who has been invited to speak at the Mormon temple, and he is giving a clear biblical picture of who Jesus is. I am hopeful that one day, like the Armstrongian version of the worldwide Church of God, that they will leave their cultish ways and turn to biblical Christianity. So our prayer for those out there, the Mormons who are listening and those who know Mormons, pray that God, the truth of the Bible and the God of the Bible, would infiltrate that church.
That's it for Theology Thursday. We are out of time. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast at mystaticradio.com/Theology Thursday. Jarrett, Nizzle, thank you guys.
Yes.
Awesome.
You guys are awesome. Guys. All right. Next week, we'll do this again. So if your question wasn't answered or you did not ask it, you can send us your questions now. We will compile them and get ready for next week's show, studio@mystaticradio.com.
We welcome questions all week. Maybe something we just talked about made you think of a question. Please go ahead and send it in because we need them.
Until tomorrow, it's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static.